You're spitting fire, that's why.
Spitting hot fire. Dylon,
this is content gold.
Dylon and Dylon. If this new charger in here is preventing me to put my Chromebook charger in here. You got a new charger down here?
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. But anyways, yeah. So, the Canadian gun laws would have done nothing, right, to prevent these mass shootings in the United States, even if we had them, right? And the simple idea, right, like there was this, this one troller, brony troll.
Right.
Kevin, right?
Kevin. I am the greatest troll of all time. My name is Kevin.
Called to the David Pacman Pacman show and was like, you know, what about the Jews disowning God? I was like, whoa, it's, you know, proof that it's like the thing is, right, when you get someone to really talk about Nazi Germany and the whole rollout of the tyranny of the German government, right, it's like they've never heard of Poland.
Right.
They were out of the Polish people. When the Nazis rolled into the Polish ghetto, the Polish people in that ghetto were outnumbered 40-1, and they fucked them up.
Right.
It was another thing. It's just the other thing is you just don't walk on unless you're like out, you know, like, which to 41 you got them, but you know you're not supposed to walk in someone else's territory unless you got his stuff. That's why the British government never walked into West Virginia. They're like, no, fuck that. Granted, George Washington was cocky and he walked up there with army troops and got fucked up, but the British government's like, I ain't going up to those mountains. But yeah, so, and there's all these tiny different rebellions that happened all through Poland just for because they had guns still. They still had the guns. And that's another reason why Poland got shitted on by the German government, and that's why they put all the death camps in Poland.
Make sure you call my hat a boomer hat.
Get that boomer hat.
That's why I bought it.
Does look like a boomer dad hat. That's what you look like you got.
That's why I got it, because it looks like a boomer hat.
Boomer hat. I saw that email from that lady. He's like, I don't want to hear about this boomer hatred. I'm like, oh man, I feel bad.
She was a good sport.
I'm glad you responded.
I did. She was having fun with it.
That's good.
A lighthearted boomer. I know. I can't believe it either.
I met one good boomer. No such thing. What's this?
We're gonna start the show with that.
Hi, I'm a. Good.
So I'll be A, you'll be B.
Uh-huh.
And this is the script that everybody's freaking out about.
Oh, this is... Oh, man. This will be fun. Just can't get a teleprompter? We can't afford a teleprompter? See how much you're using that Mac. Glad I brought that Mac last Tuesday.
I haven't been home, Harry.
Don't give me that. You act like you've been in, like, Ohio or something.
I know, I haven't. Been busy. Okay. Is not what I wanted.
Oh, so it's been another, it's almost time.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's almost Lacey and I's anniversary being in our house, and by the time they get their anniversary being in that house, or would it be 7 or 8 years, I can't remember, we'll be down to $38,000 left in the house.
Nice. $38,000?
Mm-hmm.
Can I borrow some money?
No. Use your privilege to get some cash. Marry a white woman like I did.
If I could marry a white woman, I would. If I could marry a Mexican, I would. I would. If I could marry anything, I would.
You could marry anything. You could get paid if you you could sell your citizenship. All right, so the Discord server, their April Fool's Day update prank.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, those features sound badass. The randomly select at random with Discord roulette, like at roulette. That sounded awesome. You just like at somebody and just randomly pick somebody. I was like, this sounded like an awesome feature. At random. Someone needs to do this. Especially if he's using it for work. at random, you need to take out the garbage or something. You know, like someone at random needs to go pick up pizzas on Friday. This way, you're like, hey, no, no, hit the random button. It randomly selected you. The hell happened to the Discord? I was gone for what, 10 minutes? Uh oh. Someone got Valio Froon got in. And was trying to. I think they were trying to troll and got trolled the door.
Who was trolling?
I don't know, so like somebody came in and was just popping off some socialist bullcrap and just reeing. And I think, and then Reinhold decided to like charge and. You know, so I was like, I just need to rage about some socialist BS, and I'm, you know, sure, come on in, just, you know, just be mindful about it.
I'm frankly tired of all socialists.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's,
they're not moral agents, and therefore they should all be thrown out of helicopters.
Oh man, I watched Steven Crowder's "Socialism is Evil."
Our next congressman's words. Yeah, how was it?
Honestly, I like it. I really do. It was pretty badass. The whole like, but the thing is, what he's doing, I do like, because it's one, he's doing like the whole like Young Americans of Liberty thing of going to college campuses and showing like young college kids, this is how you debate, this is how you take these questions, this is how you go on, this is how you do this.
Right.
He's doing that, but he's using it to also make content for the podcast. Which, no, I'm not discrediting him by any means, but he's doing it a very good job, and he's also showing people, like, this is how certain people debate.
Right.
They want to conflate words and get you stuck because you're going to come at them one way, and they're going to come at you at so many different sideways way if you don't put them in the same lane and box them in. Because you're already coming in a box because you know what you do. You have principles. You have principles and stuff like that. So you're coming with your box. They see your box and they're going to shoot your box. You know? So it's like, you know, like, so the guy was sitting down and you like showed him like the techniques like, well, one would argue socialism. No. What do you define socialism as? We're going to define this right now. What do we define socialism as? Well, you could, no. You're not doing that. Because you could say that, and then I'll attack that, and you're like, well, that's one version. And then I'll be sitting there shooting straw men on it. And I'm like, yes! Because it's the same thing with the gun debate. Well, we don't want to take your guns. What? Then what's the point of any? Well, we just want restrictions. I was like, you know what the effed up thing is? I always thought it was BS, and I sat on this whole, like, the noise on it, but it like still hasn't turned out to be BS. The Parkland shooter used 10-round magazines.
Explain that to me. Pretend I'm a dummy.
Okay, so like the AR-15, well, they only want to go as high capacity. The 30-round, the 100-round, the 50-round drums, like that. Just the gun, the magazine capacity. Like, talk about high-capacity magazines. That gun that the Florida shooter used, right?
Right.
He only had 10-round magazines.
Okay.
So it's a one-third of a 30-round magazine. And and you know why he took the 10-round magazine over the 20 or the 30?
Right. Why?
Seal it better. Fit in his duffel bag.
In his clear backpack.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, it fit in his backpack, and, you know, it could fit, you know, and small. And I'm like, oh, so the 30-round, the big drums wouldn't fit, which everyone kept saying. Like, no, you can't do this with a 30-round, stuff like that, because it's just too big. But that's the other thing. Like, because they want to debate guns and, like, there's different tactics on. It's, you know, it's like the lethality, or they're like, well, you don't want to go for some guns, we just want some guns and stuff like that. And they don't want to like jump down into the truth. They're like, no, we're going to go back to facts and stuff like that. Or the idea of, you know, like, well, let's analyze what happened and walk backwards and find out what failed and put preventions on that, because going after everyone is pointless. It's pointless. You know, like, first and foremost, he wasn't supposed to be there, so he broke physical access.
Right.
So, fix that. Fix that first and foremost. And that's most of these shooters. Majority of the shooters weren't supposed to be in the facility they're supposed to be in. And some people's like, how are you going to block physical access? People got to come in and out of the building. most companies block physical access of people coming in all the freaking time.
Yeah, we have a whole security setup.
Yeah. Oh, and they talk, and don't they go over about like watching people walking behind you that you do not know? And if they let someone go, everyone immediately is notified, hey, blah, blah, blah has been let go. Don't let them in the building.
It's not that particularly okay, well, at Roche defined, it was. But there are certain code words and there's other stuff that, yeah, I mean, so everybody kind of has an idea of what's up.
Yeah. So, you know, so the idea that this is impossible doesn't happen because it's the same way at Salesforce. You know, downtown at the Salesforce Tower, or most big companies, they restrict physical access.
Right.
So hard is this? Heritage Christian School restricts physical access to the building. It looks like a prison. But if you had kids, that'd be the school you want your kids to go to. So does Park Tudor or most white, high, like paid, like
now,
school.
Why did you say white in a weird way?
White, high pricey schools.
I feel that's racist.
It is, and you can't do anything about it.
hey, I don't like reverse racism.
Most of the schools block physical access from because they try to block the unwashed masses from getting close to their schools. It's public schools that allow anyone and anyone to walk up to it. Granted, it's public, but they like take Cathedral. Cathedral High School is way back there in the woods, and you have to get back there.
Right.
And if you drive your car over there or back there while school's in session, you get stopped by security. You know, you can't get back there when school's in session.
Right.
You know, it's blocking physical access. You know. Because how is a shooting would have got with if, like, a resource officer stopped them? Hey, I'm late for school. Cool, let me see your badge.
Right.
Scanned him in. Yeah, scanned him in and realized, wow, you're suspended. You're not supposed to be here. Brick you sub. And he tries to pull his gun out of the backpack and he gets shot by the guy who has the gun on his hip. So.
Download.
But like I said, those are... but that's how, like, somebody, like... You would think, like, and I see a lot of IT guys that think that way. I'm like, dude, this is the, it's like, see, that's like you wanted to throw out all this code and fix all this stuff when in reality, like, the firewall broke, man. It's just the firewall. It just let people in. Everything else behind that's fine.
Did you read the prep for the encryption stuff yet?
There's no encryption stuff in this thing. What encryption stuff?
On Trello about the San Bernardino.
Oh, that thing, yes. The San Bernardino iPhone thing. Yeah, I read that article. What questions do you have about it?
No, I was just wondering if you read it.
Yeah, I read it.
You don't
see I don't it. Duh. Most techs were talking about this though. That's the other thing is like that most of the people in the IT security field thought of this and knew this. That's why even John McAfee, libertarian presidential candidate John McAfee, brought that up, but like, give me the phone. I'll break it right now. I'll crack it in right now.
C-Spangle.
But you can't crack that. And it goes to, and it's the same thing just like this. It's like they wanted to, you know, they want to make it easier because encryption is always getting harder. It's always getting harder. And right now, they may have something to break Apple, but they know their team had to work on it.
Right.
And if Apple doesn't have to play ball, they won't. And Apple makes it easier for them to do it, but they don't know. But they do know that other companies have sprung up to make it unharder or don't want to play ball. Right. Like Lavabit. Lavabit did not want to play ball.
Was that Ladar Levinson's company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That said, go f*** yourself. Give us your code. Okay. I'll send it to you tomorrow. Sent it in printed form. Go f*** yourself. You know, so they just wanted to make sure they can compel companies. So it just like seemed as like it's just a part of business. Just kind of like right now, it's a part of it. It's a part of business. If you're that's the other thing about the Cloud Act, stuff like that, because if you have a server on U.S. territory, U.S. soil, the federal government can compel that company to search that damn server.
Right.
And not tell you that they searched it. That's already been there. The Cloud Act was just to extend that outwards and allow other people to come in now. So the British government wanted to do the same thing, and so someone was hiding it over here. Well, guess what? They've got you. So it's basically its goal is so if anything like a WikiLeaks ever starts again, they can stomp it out.
Right. Whoop. Sorry about that.
So glad we're not in an airtight sound room right now. A lot of you are like, man, I wish you guys were in a sound room. I don't. I wish we were in a sound room.
Okay. Let's just get the team viewer set up. So I can get this junk out of my way.
You even auto set that up? What you been doing all week?
I got...
You got fucked? Nice. Okay, you're fine, man. Unless she's got Gunther, I already studied today for school. I'm good.
I'm probably like 5 minutes away.
Okay. I have no idea. There's some stories that got posted in the low-key wall room, so I'll probably do that for low-key wall tomorrow. But the other thing I'm going to do the Frenica stuff tomorrow. And for low-key wall, everyone's like, where's that? I'm like, I kind of want to use it for content because it's work. And we're like, what? I was like, no, I want to use it for content. I'd rather do this stuff live on air, so it's content.
Yeah.
I mean,
so Frendica doesn't have a mobile app, do they? Because that's going to be a sticking point.
What?
You saw the poll results?
It does and it doesn't.
Don't give me this mobile browser bullshit.
It does for Android.
Oh,
because it's Linux based. I can just get on GNU Social and communicate with Frendica.
It's going to be a problem.
Damn it.
Because that's what the people want.
Frendica, it wasn't supposed to be the. How could I put it? Frendica was not meant to be the go-to now. It was supposed to be, Frendica was supposed to be the bunker, okay? I'm setting Frendica up to be the bunker.
Okay.
So it's like, oh shit happened! Go to the bunker!
Yeah, but I don't think we're gonna...
But it's like, everyone's like, but yeah, everyone's talking about, no, we need to go to the bunker now. We just use the bunker right now. We just use it now. It's ready to go now.
Which
right.
I don't agree with. I think there's.
I know it's like no. Right? Yeah. It's still stuff here. Shit, right? Yeah. Yeah. I just want the bunker built. Let's dig the hole. Let's put the shipping container down there. Let's put the shipping container down there. Let's live down there now.
Because if they have.
Because I know there's a. I just don't think Frendica has an Apple app though.
But I know theoretically in a year or two, because it took.
Well, that's the other thing. I bet someone could probably build one because it's all open source protocol.
Oh, Lord. Something must have happened with Melissa because I have 15 notifications.
Got super bank.
Okay.
Ooh, then Steven Crowder went after David Hogg. That was pretty cool.
What did he say?
He just went after and attacked him on his on his point and trying to juxtapose his two positions and showing him how he's a big piece of shit. And then he goes like, "Go ahead, attack my sponsors. They're all NRA and gun people. They already hate you." And it's like, "And my YouTube videos are already demonetized. They can't get more demonetized. You can't double demonetize me," which is kind of cool because also the Prager thing. What are you gonna do? Double demonetize us?
Exactly.
You know, Prager battles will just go balls to the wall. Like, oh, cool. I really didn't expect that to happen to Prager because Prager has spent so much money on ads for YouTube.
I know.
Which to me, I felt like they had something as a, you know, almost could come out as a business. But it looked like from those articles that they were trying to go after a First Amendment issue.
Yeah. But, so they.
If you don't want to get into it because you want to get in the show, I understand it.
No, I'm just trying to get this shit.
You're fine. I'm trying to find out if there's a motherfucking Apple version of the Frendica thing because I know I can do it.
Check one, two. Check one, two.
So that's good. I can't believe everyone. Like I said, I'm just going to create the bunker.
Oh, I want
check 1-2. Check, 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 check.
Well.
Wait a minute. I think someone. iOS. Type in Frenica iOS. Aha! Get on GitHub and you can get it.
Check.
Gotta get on the.
Check, check, check.
And what happened to your Android phone that you had? Mr. I don't have an Android to test
somewhere
it
somewhere deep in the bowels of this apartment. It's like a $10 burner phone.
Don't want to get caught with that on you when you went through airport security.
Right.
Why do you have it's two not, phones?
It's not the same as an actual phone.
Oh, okay, we got a drug dealer here.
And people are not supposed to know about my burner phone, Harry. Some things are supposed to be private, kept between two co-hosts, and not used as online content, sir.
Everyone knows you have that. You said it on the podcast.
That's fine. I don't care.
You said it on the podcast. You and the close 10,000 people know about this phone.
Mittens.
It's like, that's different. The 10,000 of the podcast are hardcore. The people on Facebook aren't hardcore.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Okay, there's one in German. Just speak German, you'll be fine.
Just speak in German.
That's the only thing I'm seeing. Alright, so you have to get on GNU Social in German, and then you can get it.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
Okay, and close. Now let's go to the app.
Yeah, you can get it on your iPad. Just go to the browser.
Could just develop an iOS Prenica app. Sure, it won't be that hard. I'm making 99 cents on the Apple Store, so I make $100 a year to do video.
Back when Prenica, it's an old photo of Prenica, back when Prenica used to be able to talk to Facebook until Facebook wall guarded itself off. Then somebody posted in Discord and asked me, like, how do you go dark? Which I thought about doing on Low Key Wall 2, but I might do it at the end of the, for the wrap up. Like, how do you go dark? I'm like, this is simple. This is, well, it's not, okay, it's not simple to go dark. But there's a lot of cool things out there that you can get to help you go dark. But it's kind of also pointless to go dark if other people around you don't go dark. You can't.
Hey, it's Clayton.
And we are not live.
It's Clayton.
Who misses Clayton?
Everyone does.
Doesn't fit over my hat. My hat's better than your hat.
Well, live 278.
Don't forget to post that in the Dear Leader's Chambers in the Discord, too, please.
Check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2. Check 1-2. Check 1-2.
Sorry if you iOS people just can't.
Check 1-2.
Frenica.
Check.
Okay, I'm not sorry. Actually, I am kind of sorry because, you know, that's going to push, you know, you got to stop a lot of you got a lot of you people from jumping into the bunker.
Well, that's not the point, Harry. The point is for everyone to participate.
I don't want everyone to participate. I just want the good people.
No.
I want the superior race of Android users to...
then stay... stay in Discord.
The superior Android PC gaming master race. You have enough of those open... Whoa! Whoa!
What?
You should see... Chris is right now turning off apps on his phone. There's like 50 different dating apps that's just closed right now in front of my eyes.
I'm on no dating apps, sir. You're being a real Melissa right now.
He's on that threesome Tinder one, too, for threesomes.
Now, if you are just joining us, let's see here.
He's on Farmers Only, Boomers Only.
I can't tell if it is working or not.
Toad Paul, like I should make an INTJ only dating site.
Yeah.
For, you know, dating for INTJs. It's a Myers-Briggs test to get in, and if you don't score an INTJ, they want you in.
Okay. There we go. We're live. Now, if you are wondering what happened to the program you were just listening to, dear one listener that I saw on there, we are about to go live.
Hey, Christy.
It probably was Christy. Okay, I got to finish printing out articles. Okay, what do I got? All right.
Snutch. Not showing up on my feed. Because I didn't hit the bell. See, you've got to hit the bell so it shows up on your feed. Oh, man. I want to click on this breaking news and I can't. I can't. I just want to know what's going on. That's like the worst thing growing on. Like when there's like new, like breaking news is just going on.
Yeah.
And since it's a podcast, we just can't go after it because, one, not everything's going to be released from it yet.
Right.
It's all going to be speculative crap, and everything we say is going to be false by the time all the news, real news, comes out about it, and we look like a big gang of idiots by the time the podcast gets released.
Is my nasal spray and the white stuff right behind you there? I kind of don't care about the...
I just want to know if someone like got it on Snapchat. Like I went to all my YouTuber Snapchats, couldn't find anyone on Snap.
Yes, yes it is.
Can you grab it for me, please?
It's got like no stuff on it, bruh.
What? What are you talking about?
Ew. Gross.
Good thing.
That's just that's just glue.
Gross.
It's just glue.
Sure it is.
It's not boogers. It's pocket lint and glue.
Sure. That's what you want us to know.
Do we want to do the PragerU story? I've not really followed it. I'll put it at the bottom.
I followed it just because it was a very interesting topic. And
all right. Well, have you got something to say?
No, I don't really have anything to say with it. Like, it'd be quick if we even got to it. But it's almost like it's kind of cool to be because it's juxtaposed up next to Steven Crowder's lawsuit that he's going after.
Oh, but they're going at too?
Yeah, but he's going after a different way, and he's already but he has fought Facebook and won. So he's now doing almost the exact same judo move to YouTube, and his other lawyer is going after Twitter too.
Is he still banned?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I'm not that. I hate watch Crowder. Like, I enjoy his content. It's entertaining. I just don't.
No, it's like Ben Shapiro, I think, has a lot of good things to say. But
I'd get a beer with Crowder. I would not get a beer with Ben Shapiro.
I see. I'm the opposite.
Not get a beer.
Crowder seems to be the try hard to me. But, like, Shapiro is atrocious. On foreign affairs.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful.
Well, like, he does BJJ, so we'd probably just get drunk and just roll. Let's go. What you got? What's this guillotine? What you got?
San Bernardino.
Anyone talking about the condom challenge is just falling for boomer propaganda.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Ooh, 256 Magnum swap.
Like, it's almost like they're like kids are trolling. Like, they're doing that and saying that's the hot new thing just to mess with boomers.
It's not the first time, you know, that people, one, troll the media. It's because there's a lot of them are very easy, you know, suck ups, or like a or they, you know, or they do so many different stories. A lot of them don't have the time or the you know, the pay to research the stories, you know, or they're just tired because, you know, they got to research stories every day. They're not really given the time. Like, come on, you've 8 hours to research, you know, we need 16 hours of content for tomorrow.
Right.
In 8 hours. Really? I got a team of 5 people, right? No. It's you and 2 interns who want to play Minecraft all day. Oh, man, I was supposed to do... I was going to go on... I said I was going to do Twitch. Tommy got here waiting. And I sat here waiting.
Yeah, you should have been... You really missed an opportunity there.
I know. If I go back to my unlimited plan, I'd just do Twitch all the way on my drive here. Of course, I'd have to, you know...
I wonder if this is very boring for our subscribers, and if it is, I am sorry.
I don't even see it live here on the YouTube, man.
It's not live on the YouTube yet. It's live on that mobile app.
Oh. I'm up here like going like refreshing the screen. Get on the mobile app.
Idiot.
Ooh, what about, got an idea for the call-in line? You want to make the call-in line Patreon only? Give the Patreon only line?
No, because you wouldn't have enough of a...
Uh-oh.
You wouldn't have enough of a base of people to call in.
Yeah.
So, you know. And I think we'll make Tuesdays the call-in night.
What?
I'm missing.
Ooh, or you can give the call-in line stuff. Give the call-in information to Galt and let him do a conspiracy like George Norrie type of radio show at night.
That'd be funny.
Telling him the truth. No.
Start with Sinclair.
I've been watching this one thing on Netflix called the St. Clara Diet.
Yeah, I heard that's good.
If you, I can't tell anyone to watch something as much as that. Now,
like, it's just too much.
Oh, it's amazing. No, it's not too much. It is amazing. I love the show. Like the first episode, you know, like first I knew I was going to watch it just because I was starting to look at the cast, because I'm a huge Drew Barrymore fan.
Right.
I had a crush on Drew Barrymore when I was young.
Who didn't?
You know?
Meow.
Now that she's like older, it's still like, man, still got it. I'm sorry. I still like Drew Barrymore.
No apologies needed.
You know, I follow her on the Instagrams, but I respect her also as a person and leave her alone. That's not the only person I've got a crush on that I follow on Instagram. There's a lot of other people. I ain't named no names. Unless you're a low-key wall Twitch subscriber, and then I'll tell you. But, yo, it's a really cool show. I don't want to give anything away. The only thing I can recommend is don't eat and watch the show unless you have a strong stomach. Because I was eating curry when I watched the first episode.
What was I eating? I was eating eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching some show, and I was just like, oh, I need to not eat eggs.
Yeah.
While doing this.
Yeah. And then I showed it to my wife, and she's sitting there eating through the whole thing. Like, look at that. I'm like, what, really? What? But it's, oh, man, it's such a cool show. And it's... I think it really shows a good dynamic of how like how families really are and how they really react to situations, and it makes like the family feel super real, and the world that they live in is It's very real. Like, a lot of people are like, well, this is kind of like, I'm like, no, this feels more real than any other show I've probably seen in a long time. The show feels real. That's what, that throws me off sometimes when I watch shows. Like, granted, I know it's fiction, and I'm supposed to have the suspension of disbelief. But when I watch crappy shows like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., those shows don't make any sense to me. I watch it and it's like, this is stupid. This is dumb.
Yeah, I like realism. That's why I really like The Crown. I feel like I'm very soft. That's why I like The Crown, mm-hmm. because The Crown was so full of these different layers of like emotions. It mm-hmm. was really, really done.
It's realism in context, right? Like, the reason why a lot of the Marvel movies are pretty neat is because the world around them feels like it's dealing with, you know, this superpower green guy jumping around the sky. The world's dealing with that.
Right.
Instead of, oh, yeah, you got, you know, superpower green guy, and, you know, they're just not kind of, like, dealing with it. Things happen that just doesn't make any sense, you know? We put him on the, oh, no, he broke the steel bars. The dude just punched through a building. What do you think steel bars are going to do to him? You know, they just kind of, like, build things up or make things make sense. You know, it's, you know, like, they kind of build on the world. Like, all right, what I'm talking about is season 2, episode 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They are, illegal guy is dishing off information, secret information to another person. It's just information and they're trading cash. It's information. They're going to meet in person. I don't know why. And then the people who are spying in on them, they sneak a camera in there and get this nice overhead angle in it. And I'm like, okay, come on. First off, you never got that close to put an angle in, especially these supposed to be top spies too that you're spying on. And the other thing is, why are they meeting here? Why are they meeting here at the docks? They're just trading information, pieces of paper. This could have been done in public at a bar. Or, like, you know, like a, you know, at a mall, a dead drop this, just sat next to each other and just dropped things off and moved on.
Thank God you're chatty tonight because I am exhausted. I am, like, beat to hell.
Enter your 6-digit PIN number. Welcome, host. You have not started a show session in Colin Studio and cannot yet receive calls on We Are Libertarians. Welcome, host. You are now in the host room and can manage your callers from the Colin Studio web interface.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bubble Man. All right, let's go here. Post.
What the heck happened in Duck Hunt?
What? What now?
I just got it mentioned.
Well, that means something's broke.
I know, right? Ooh, how'd you fall down to number 9th?
I gave everybody 2,000 points.
Oh, to like stop the complaining?
Mainly.
Fine. Here's some bread. No one has hit me up about it. I've been asking about the other bots. I think the only person, like, I only got like a couple people that asked me to put in the Pokemon bot, so you guys can actually battle each other with Pokemon. Then there was people like they don't want Pokemon and Duck Hunt mixing.
No, you can't have your Pokemon in your Duck Hunt. What are you, crazy? Can't mix your Pokemon and your Duck Hunt.
There's like, but I don't want to like have all these channels where all these bots. And I was like, just a standard bot channel. Nope. Can't mix the Duck Hunt and the bots with the Pokemons, the Pokemans.
Da-da-da-da. I'm so tired, I don't know what to think. I'm so tired, I've hardly slept a wink. I wonder, should I get up? Or should I click this notification because it's just going to make me mad? You'd say you're doing me wrong, but it's no joke. You're putting me on, you know, I can't sleep. Can't sleep a wink. We're almost ready to get started here.
You singing?
I'm slap happy, Harry.
Why are you slap happy? Did you get any sleep?
I've been real exhausted lately. I've mentioned that I'm switching and now considering going off of SSRIs and antidepressants altogether. So, and the striving for homeostasis in the brain is wearing me out. And so I have to have a nap about 2 in the afternoon every day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real shitty. We did 40 minutes of extra content. Mainly 40 minutes of you talking. Thank God.
Really? About
about what? I have no idea. I wonder if we're still... I don't know if we're still in...
So, yeah. Frendica for mobile. For iOS, people. It's called your browser. Like it. Love it. You want more of it.
You'd say... I'm putting... So, yeah, no. I'm totally exhausted by... By like noon every day. It's a lot. It takes a lot out of you.
Do you need to take a week off?
I really do. I need a long vacation.
Yeah. If you, just plan it out. Just be like, hey, you know, in a couple weeks, you know, in a few weeks, I want to take, you know.
I don't think it's just this. I need like 2 weeks of vacation from everything. I haven't been on a vacation since my honeymoon.
Oh, dude, you're so burnt. You don't even know how burnt you are.
Oh, yeah. No,
I don't even know how burnt you are.
I'm very burnt out. Yeah, you get to a point where you just go, oh.
Like, put it this way, man. Like, right now, like, I have been, like, worked for almost a year. I feel amazing and great.
Yeah.
Like, usually when I get a small job and I, like, tear through it and I'm like, that was supposed to take someone, like whatever. I'm so, like, firing on all cylinders when I start working on something.
I noticed yesterday I was getting manic and ADD was out of control, and I was like, what is this feel? Oh, this is the feeling I get when I'm way too tired and way too stressed.
All right, so I'm in a chat room talking to this lady, and I'm realizing, right, more and more that there's so many manic people out there in the world that are diagnosed, that are out there, right? And no one does anything. Like, you know that they're harmed. They possibly could be harmful. They're very, like, they already have destructive tendencies. But people just let them out there. Like, they would explain it to me. And the thing I wanted to, like, this person should be locked up.
Well, let me make it clear. That's not me.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, they were just telling me this person. I'm like, this person should be locked up. I don't feel safe with this person.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's why we need a bank gun. No. I'm fine with my gun. That person needs to be locked up because she's not safe with a car.
Here's how I'd put it.
She hit a cop with a car.
I get in modes where I get so busy where I can't shut the motor off. You know that feeling where, like, you're just it's a perpetual motion machine, and then you can't rest. And so I was reading this book called... I don't even remember what it was called, but it was about busyness and needing to rest. And like, this guy was like, "Yeah, I just take naps in the middle." I'm like, "I need to get on that plane.
Let me take the naps."
Naps. Oh, I love naps. My nap.
Gunther likes naps.
Oh yeah, I'm basically a baby. I'm basically a child. Yeah. You'd say.
I could put this. Lacey was trying to deal with Gunther, and she's like, "She just won't go to bed because she's super cranky." I'm like, "Look at her! Look how tired she is. Let me show you how you get her to sleep." So I picked her up, put her in her crib, hit the glowworm.
The glowworm.
You know, the little glowworm doll. She hugged it. She looked at me, started crying, and I walked to the door. I closed the door. I sat down and started drinking Jim Beam. I'm like, yep, that's how you do it.
Hold on. Where? All right.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you about this Jim Beam drinking, all right? It's like 3 in the morning, we're playing with the Paladins. You said Harry's drinking Jim Beam, getting angry as fuck.
Congressman, how are you?
I'll tell you about vacation, right? Me and Harry have been having like a month-long vacation of playing video games like 3 in the morning. Like, we're on that trash life currently. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. I've never been so relaxed. I never drank so much Jim Beam.
No, he went and got Jim Beam because he was going to get, like, some fancy whiskey. Didn't have the fancy whiskey, so what do you got? Some dad fighting liquor. I was getting that dad fighting liquor going on today. And Paul's like, yeah, I agree with that. I just some fucking dad fighting liquor. It's good, right? Like 5 shots in, you're ready to fight somebody in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad we played video games because, yeah, I was ready to, I was ready to throw down. Yeah. They didn't have the whiskey I wanted, so I would just, before buy anything else, I was like, if I'm going to go lesser, I'll bet as well just go real lesser.
Yeah, could have been Ian, Jay. It could have just been that dude.
Dumb standards. Not like I went Chris, early times.
Chris doesn't drink, so he doesn't understand like the effects of certain liquor. I mean,
you don't have to drink to... I don't experientially know it, but I definitely know that... You get a little more violent with certain liquors, like whiskey. My dad has terrible nightmares on that stuff.
Mm. Chris is doing this podcast. His dad comes in. He's like, I'm on the Beamer, boy. Fucking slaps the belt in his hand. He's like, I'm 35 years old, Dad.
I'm only 5 years old. Niece, I'm going to put you back. I'm going to put you back on hold.
All right.
And then we'll speak to you soon.
How'd you get him to call in?
I don't know. We're very lucky. Let me just put him back on cue. All right, Brandon Luke. Let's see here. You'd say keep putting me on, but it's no joke. Doing it home.
How many times can we have like characters call in before we get sued?
Oh, I don't know.
You could make it so like Tad Western calls it all the time. That'd be great.
Checking
the Tad at the ranch. Checking
it's no joke.
I'm checking in with Tad.
All right. Post. Almost ready.
Turbo 2 RX-7.
Send. All right. So here's how I want to do this. Okay. All right. Here's how I want to do it. I'm going to...
update Instagram now.
All right, Harry.
What's up?
So here's how we're going to do this.
Okay.
We will do the intro. We'll promote the call-in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll announce that Tuesday nights we'll do call-ins. And then I will say now... a very special word from our sponsors, a moment of silence, not a moment, but just a few beats of silence, and then I'll go, hi, I'll be A, you mm-hmm. be B.
Got it.
You know, I'm A, I'm B, our greatest exponent, and then we'll read it, and then that's how we'll do that. All right?
Cool.
Here we go. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We bring you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves while putting people before political parties. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective with the goal of leaving you better informed. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, subscribe to our email newsletter at wearelibertarians.com, or join our Patreon, where we will give you all kinds of bonus content for being a monthly subscriber. Please be warned that this show is raw, unedited, and authentic, so the language is sometimes strong and offensive. Joining me is my Tuesday co-host, Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Going good. Finally got to log into my server today, but, I'm doing great.
Wait, were you locked out of your own server?
Yeah, I couldn't get in. Not from the password thing, but for some reason, it was like the cheaper server that I have from a different like hosting company.
Uh-huh.
Their web login wouldn't let me log in. I can SSH it in all fine, but I couldn't get into the GUI interface.
Okay, well, this is very boring. Nerd. We've got lots of nerd talk for you coming up. We're going to talk about the Sinclair Broadcasting conspiracy. It's so underwhelming if you know it, if you've actually followed things. Here's what we've got on deck that we might or might not talk about. We're going to talk about David Hogg and Laura Ingraham. We're going to talk about a personal bully that I've got. We're going to talk about the FBI trying to get into your phone and lying, essentially, under oath to get into the San Bernardino terror suspect. PragerU lost their lawsuit, and giving up Facebook can make you healthier. So that's what we've got on deck. But, you know, last week we took calls. We said hi to a few people, and then nobody called in. But here's the deal. Every Tuesday night around 7 o'clock, get the We Are Libertarians mobile app. You can get it on Android or iTunes. Get it in your app store. Just search for We Are Libertarians. You can also listen at WeAreLibertarians.com or on TuneIn Radio or at the look for We Are Libertarians Radio in the talk section of the iTunes Radio thing. It's so clunky that it's hard to explain how to get there. So on Tuesday nights, we're going to give you the opportunity to call in and join the conversation. And you can call in at 317-699-7236. And so on Tuesday nights, as we go through these news stories and give you the recap of all the news that is important for the week, you can sound off to and join the conversation. Plus, you can listen on those apps for free and hear the show as it is broadcast live. The Thursday show will not be a call-in show. It will not be broadcast live. It is always a little more variable. I have a very busy, I think I've mentioned this in the last episode, but I've got a very busy schedule coming up this spring. I'm going on three trips. I've got a lot going on. I want to do a few interviews, try a few new things out. So the Thursday show is going to be a little more variable and a little harder to pin down and stream live. And, you know, for the most part, it'll be a group of us sitting around the table on Thursday nights, but sometimes. So to be consistent, Tuesday nights. You can call in, talk to Harry Price and I, sound off on the stories that we are doing, and you can join us. All right. Speaking of the callers, we have a future congressman on the line, Harry Price. Joining us on the phone is James Neese, who is running as a Republican in Congressional District 4. And you just had a great article about you where, I mean, they went in-depth on memes.
Well,
go ahead.
He asked me to see my collection. He's like, "You got a meme collection?" I'm like, "You know I do. I got 837 on this SD card." he's like, well, show him. And I'm like, "All right, we found the non-offensive ones." He's like, looking through it, swiping right. Look, like, oh, that one's kind of Nazi-ish. Better go to the next one. So just showed him my memes, but. He, like, that whole interview, like, about an hour of it was just, like, talking, like, points, but, like, the last 30 minutes was just memes. He's like, "Hey, you play Overwatch?" I'm like, "Yeah, sometimes." He's like, "You want to, all of us at Purdue at the news thing, like, we play Overwatch, you want to log in sometimes?" Like, "Hey, you should download Paladins so I stop you." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, we'll download Paladins." So, like, apparently I'm going to have, like, some gaming match with the entire, like, news media. So I'm going to be like, "Okay, I'll stop you." Like, "No problem."
So does this mean, and Rick Irvine makes a great, gives you a great slogan, "Why the F not?" James Neese, 2020, "Why the F not?" 2018, I should say.
Yeah.
Now, Neese.
This is a midterm.
You know, it is, Neese is somebody that a lot of people write off because he's a little weird and he doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's, you know, he's sleepy. You look at that photo and he looked a little sleepy, like he'd just rolled out of bed from a bender the night before. But Neese is one of the most intelligent people I know, and I would say one of the best hardworking candidates. I'm very tired. There's going to be a lot of this out there in the Libertarian Party. Although now you're a Republican, why'd you leave the LP to run as a Republican?
We don't. He asked me that in the article. And I told him, like, it's unfair. Like, the election laws are unfair. If I were to do LP, there's no base in, it's not like Jeremiah's district, you know, where he's got
Rex Bell. He's got like all the people that can really work a campaign there.
The Boss Hog of Liberty.
Yeah. So like on my end, there's nobody. When we did local races here, there's nobody. So it doesn't really like benefit anybody. Like I told the paper, it's like, you know, if you're an independent, you're a libertarian, you're a socialist, whatever you are, it's like the amount of work you have to do just to get on the ballot is huge. For this, I just had to fly out one piece of paper. That was it. You know, fill out a my name, my address, and I'm on the ballot. And in Indiana, as long as you vote in a primary, you know, like I voted for Ron Paul, like last presidential election cycle, not 2016, but 2012, you're allowed to do that.
But
so
you also kind of did it.
We have really funny.
You also kind of did it to shitpost, right? Because there's like 17 people running in that election.
Well, like there's like seven in the Republican Party. There's like six in like the. It's an open seat, so that's what happens. But like I'm up there and I'm just like, yo, I'm going to tell you what I want to do about this hemp. I'm going to tell you what to do about this. And so like, we were doing the debate. And, like, I think I was the only person that said, like, I'm not going to ban any guns. I'm going to remove all the gun bans. Compared to, like, all the other candidates, like, I think this raises it to 21. And I'm like, you guys are just fucking silly, man. Like, it's some silly stuff you're saying out of your mouth. So, like, there's a point to it. You know, like, I guess I'm the only person that's, like, saying, like, on the stage or, like, going door to door. It's like, I'm the only person that's pretty much saying, like, well, I don't think there should be a role of any government. I think I even said taxation theft by a college student. You know, it's like, you know, it's taxation for the theft. But I'm the only person doing that. You know, the rest of the candidates, like we have on the GOP slate, we have like the dude's brother that's running for Senate here.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't even live in the district, you know. So
what?
It's like, you don't even live here, man.
I think you have to live in the district. That's, like, a law.
Like, you have to live in the state. For Congress, I can live in, like, Elkhart and run for, like, Evansville district, you know? The problem is, like, people won't really like that. You know, that
right.
Hurt, was it Tennessee Trey?
Yeah.
You know, like, you live in Tennessee, it hurt him for doing that. People just don't really like it. So we have, like, a weird selection of candidates that, we have like an immigrant running from Guatemala, and it's just ironic listening to him talk about like border security and putting up a wall. And he's just like, I'm from Guatemala, but I'm going to put up this wall. I'm like, yo, dude, you're going back over here in like 2 years.
Yeah. Diego Morales is, he's an interesting dude. That's for sure. He's also got a problem with lying about his, records and where he's worked. Yeah, but there's no real front runner in this race. I mean, so James Neese could be our next congressman, and I think he should be. He has my full endorsement. He should have your full endorsement too. Oh. If you're in the 4th district, you should definitely vote for him. We know Sarah Potter. We're going to get her to vote in the Republican primary for you. How can people get a hold of you if they want to follow the campaign?
I've used a lot of Discord. Like, I had the Purdue Exponent and, like, two other media organizations actually hit me up on Discord. as opposed to, like, email. But I use that for the campaign, you know? So I'm like, you know, this is a platform I can communicate with you, like, instantaneously.
Right.
You know, you have a question, boom, it's right there. It pings me. I can answer the question right away, as opposed to email. Like, email, you never really get a response. So you can get me there. I'm on Facebook.
Well, what's your Discord server? How do people get into it?
It's on my Facebook page. You just type in James Neese for Congress. It's right there. You just click on it, go to the link, make an account.
Cool.
It's like 20 seconds.
All right, James, we're going to move on. We got a sponsor here, but I wanted to thank you for calling in, and good luck with your race. I want you to come in to the show before then, too. You can make it in the next couple of weeks.
Will Chris get me before Rob Kendall? Because Rob Kendall still hasn't invited me on. So it's like, you know, Rob is Rob scared, you know?
I think you need to put that on Facebook and let's have a fight with Rob.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll gang up on Rob. Like, hey, Rob, like, you scared? I want to talk bad about the God Emperor.
All right. Thanks, James.
All right.
All right, good old James Neese. Again, you can call in at 317-699-7236. We're going to talk about the Sinclair Broadcasting Brouhaha here in just a moment. But first now, let's hear from our sponsor. It's not a sponsor necessarily. It's more of a station. Here at We Are Libertarians, we like to make pronouncements.
Mm-hmm.
We're very big on proclamations.
Yes.
So this is more of a We Are Libertarians proclamation. So here we go. Hi, I'm Chris Spangle.
And I'm Harry Price. Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Northwest communities. We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that We Are Libertarian produces.
But we're concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible one-sided news stories plaguing our country. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories. Stories that just aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think. This is extremely dangerous to a democracy.
At We Are Libertarians, it is our responsibility to pursue and report the truth. We understand truth is neither political left nor right. Our commitment to factual reporting is the foundation of our credibility, now more than ever.
But we are human and sometimes our reporting might fall short. If you believe our coverage is unfair, please reach out to us by going to WeAreLibertarians.com and clicking on Content Concerns. We value your comments. We will respond back to you.
We work very hard to seek the truth and strive to be fair, balanced, and factual. We consider it our honor, our privilege, to responsibly deliver the news every day.
Thank you for listening, and we appreciate your feedback at WeAreLibertarians.com. Now, this is the script that Sinclair had roughly 66 stations read. Now, this is what is causing all of the controversy.
It's very controversial.
Very controversial. Not to stick up for Sinclair, but, you know, I heard that this happened, and I thought it was like some sort of authoritarian statement of, you know, Donald Trump is the greatest. And I read it, and I was like, it's nonsense. It's basically saying, hey, we're good reporters, listen to us, and if you have a problem with what we say, if we make a mistake, email us.
Right.
Sounds like something I would say every single program.
Mm-hmm. Like a memo you would put out just in an office building just to tell everybody. And since most of your customers are people who listen and watch, what's the best way to get your customers out on your own program instead of buying ad space somewhere?
Yeah. So I was surprised when I actually took the time to read the script. And I went, well, this isn't a big deal at all. This happens all the time. Like, it is a very... So let me first talk about Sinclair, and then we'll kind of talk about the news media at large. This is from the Washington Post. I will put links to everything in our show notes at WeAreLibertarians.com. Sometimes it takes me a day or two to get that stuff up there because there are so many links. And so please bear with me if it's not up there the day this publishes, it's always up there a day after or so. But anyways, Trump said Sinclair is far superior to CNN, what we know about the conservative media giant. So the Washington Post already, in the headline, is tying Sinclair to Trump. So that that in and of itself is biased reporting in my view. And this is not an opinion piece. This is supposed to be a straight factual, here's what we know about Sinclair.
Let's just see if they go for Russia.
Right.
For two?
Right. Oh, yeah. Russia will definitely be in here. Sinclair is the largest owner of local TV stations in the country with 173 stations in 81 broadcast markets that stretch from coast to coast and just about everywhere in between at a time when local news outpaces national news outlets in both overall viewership and trust. About 85% of Americans trust local news outlets, more than 77% for family or friends. So you trust your friends and family 77% of the time to give you the right information. 85% of the time, Americans think that the local news is factual, Harry.
That's scary, considering that's where people get their weather.
Now let me be very clear about my bias. If you're watching local TV news, you are having your intelligence insulted. So that's where my bias comes down. But I'm not letting my bias shade our coverage of Sinclair. Go ahead.
I want to respond, but it's just going to go off on a tangent. Just go.
Okay. All right. But a stunning video This is the straight ahead factual reporting, but a stunning video that showcased its anchors reading required scripts that seemed to parrot one of President Trump's favorite themes has drawn renewed scrutiny to what critics consider the media conglomerate's years-long effort to inject conservative-tinged coverage into local markets. So Sinclair is in smaller markets. It's like in Bakersfield, California, Amarillo, Cedar Rapids. Mm-hmm. It's not in like the New York, Chicago, San Francisco, those big media markets. It is, you know, on different national networks, an ABC affiliate in Dayton, a Fox affiliate in Oklahoma. It is clustered predominantly in conservative areas of the country, according to an analysis of the company's markets. The broadcast areas of Sinclair stations voted for Trump over Hillary Clinton by a 19-point margin. All right. So the fake stories promo, which was first reported by CNN in March, drew wide attention after Deadspin published the video on Saturday and layered all the videos together. We'll play that here in just a moment. Why do critics say that Sinclair is biased? Sinclair has been spotlighted for injecting right-leaning coverage and commentary on national issues into its local broadcasts since well before the fake stories advisory became public, making it unique in the world of broadcast television, which is less encumbered by the partisanship that marks cable networks such as Fox or MSNBC. So essentially, this is what's called a must-run segment. And all, you know, Tribune owns a bunch of stations, mm-hmm. Turner Broadcasting. There is, I think Scripps is out of business, maybe. There's, you know, locally here, there's one company called Lynn, and they own several TV stations, but not a lot. They're a smaller company. So your local TV stations change ownership hands constantly, and you don't even notice. Like, you don't realize that in the, let's say you're 30 years old, in the 30 years that you've been watching Channel 8 on, you know, or Channel 6 is a very good example. It's the ABC affiliate here in Indianapolis. Well, WRTV6 has changed hands three different times in the last 10 years, and you probably didn't even notice a difference. Like, your local TV stations constantly change ownership hands. Sinclair is notable because it's huge. It's big, and they're trying to make a play to be a very big... They're trying to be the clear channel of TV. Mm-hmm. So I come from the radio world where after the 96 deregulation, the telecom laws are rewritten by Bill Clinton and Congress, the Republican Congress. You got a more favorable market for these companies to expand. And so Clear Channel, now called iHeartRadio, and Cumulus and... ABC, CBS Radio, and these companies, most of these don't even exist, Entercom. These big radio companies started gobbling up local radio stations mm-hmm. and affiliates and started to put mom and pop operators out of business, essentially. Well, now, fast forward 20 years later, they're all kind of selling off their assets to get out of bankruptcy, and, you know, it's returning to the hands of the local operators. And that's sort of what Sinclair is doing. They're trying to become a major player across the spectrum. And they first got on the radar of Media Matters in 2004 when they started sending down what Media Matters labels propaganda, these pieces on John Kerry and some of the Swift Boat stuff. And what they would do is they pre-prepare packages that local stations could or must run. And so this happens all the time. So, like, if you're watching your local news station and they run a package on Iran, the Iran nuclear deal, for instance, it's not coming from the local reporter flying to Iran to do the reporting. It's these big broadcast outlets use their own resources, or... Scripps has a news service, the AP, these big news outlets that you're familiar with, Knight Ritter, and Reuters, they put out content that is then used. So if you're a smaller operator and you don't have the power that like Sinclair has, you'll partner with Reuters or Thomson Reuters now, because it's been bought, mm-hmm. For video packages, or you'll be an AP news station. and you'll run the, or you'll be a Fox News station or an ABC station, and you'll use the ABC reporting. So it's very common to see these packages in the local news. Now, Sinclair has been notable for two reasons. First, they're the first to kind of creep into putting politics with a slant into some of these packages. So, for instance, this guy, I think his name's Stephen Gorka. I know his name, last name's Gorka. And if you saw him, you'd recognize him from Fox News during the Trump campaign. He's involved in Sinclair Media and doing political commentary, and obviously it's pro-Trump commentary. And they send it down to these stations, and it airs as opinion pieces, which it's not common to see opinion pieces in your local news stations. You know, normally your local TV news is nothing but police reports and weather and traffic and sports. So because that's what you want to see. You don't necessarily care about anything other than those things.
Yeah.
So as viewers over the last 30 years have had more opportunities, more choices to go to other news outlets like We Are Libertarians, you spend less time invested in these local TV stations. And so you don't watch as much local news because you don't need as much local news. And so that has taken these news stations to the point of revenue panic, where most local TV news has been cannibalized by shrinking revenue streams, and so they have very few resources. Most local TV stations no longer have a cameraman go out with their reporters, even in a major market like, well, a mid-market like Indianapolis. They use their cell phones.
Yeah.
They literally record with the selfie camera on their phones to record their packages.
Mm-hmm. The little light on it.
With the little light on it. And they record it themselves. There's no cameraman that goes out with them. So.
Yeah, it blew my mind when you said that. I was like, you know,
right.
Is that what you think? Because growing up as a kid, you see the cameraman and they sit out through their big trucks. Yep, no,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it isn't that way. There are those rigs, obviously.
Yeah.
But by and large, you know.
But that's only for big stories.
Right.
Big stories that they know they're going to be there forever.
So as resources shrink and your attention to them shrinks, advertising dollars shrink, and eventually these local TV news stations get desperate for revenue. And so they will do anything to – and that's why you see so much reporting on – police stuff, because they can go and they can get police reports,
mm-hmm.
and then report based. They can write a 300-400 word story on the police report and not have to do any real investigation.
Right.
They drive out to the scene, they read what they read on the police report, they move on to the next story, and so
mm-hmm.
it is not the business it used to be. And so anytime you have less resources, less revenue, and greater centralization, the overthinkers up top start to go, how can we help our local stations and give them resources? Let's produce packages. So these must runs are not uncommon. Now, the other notable thing about Sinclair, and the reason that anybody gives a shit about them, is that they're conservative leaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are owned and operated like they are the Chick-fil-A of the TV news world. And that is why you know about them. Now, the funny thing about these news packages is they're done all the time, okay? Even Conan O'Brien, let me see if I can find this, because it is pretty funny. Let me actually play the Deadspin video that everybody started freaking out about, just so you can hear their supercut.
San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
Plaguing our country.
So that's like a supercut where they layered over the 60 different, you know, just for extra effect.
Country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms.
All right, you get the idea. That's very irritating. But this is nothing new, okay? Yeah. It's just new because the left-leaning blogosphere is starting to make an issue out of this. Here is Conan O'Brien, December 16th, 2013, with a package that he put together called Newscasters Agree, a Christmas Present or Two or Ten edition.
Judge ruling against snooping by the NSA or the big fight in Congress over the new proposed budget. A lot of people say those are the big stories. But judging by local news, and I've been looking at a lot of local news, there's an even bigger story that's sweeping the nation right now.
Who are you really shopping for this holiday season? It's okay. You can admit it if you've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
Well, it's okay. You can admit it if you have bought an item or two or maybe ten for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it. You've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it, Todd.
Okay, so you get the idea. This is not uncommon.
Nope.
Here's another round.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
Kansas.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
So you get the point. These must-runs, these pre-produced segments that are sent out across the spectrum are very common in the news industry. AP reporting is the backbone of the media industry. Every one of these clickbait sites from, you know, the Blaze on the right and the Daily Caller on the right, all the way to the Huffington Post and Raw Story on the left, all pull originally from just a few sources, from AP, Reuters, New York Times, Washington Post. And so there's an incredible amount of groupthink that goes into all of these. So you see these packages are very common. Now, the difference with the Sinclair piece is that it is an editorial as opposed to, boy, your kids this holiday season deserve blah, 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 blah. So there is a difference in that, but I just wanted to prove to you that they are common.
Yeah, there's been cuts of videos of people that auto-tune those for years, but they only really care about this because it goes right, because the left does this as well for their, you know, for like their the radio post,
right?
They bring up stuff like that, you know, but that's who they want to bring up. And the only reason that they have this type of fight like this, and the only reason why it's like this way, is because when most conservative sites or most anything go with a right leaning site, I'm probably bringing this too early for you want to talk about it, like the main thing they like to do anytime they find a right-wing person go after anyone on the left, the first thing they do is they want to get with media managers, stuff like that, to attack their ads.
Sure.
They want to attack their ads. And that causes them to lose money. And when you lose money, then you get chewed up and eaten up by a larger company. Like, well, you're struggling. We'll fix your image. We'll buy this up, get rid of this person, fix the image up, and, you know, let the company keep going. This is what happens. That's why Indiana has so many different sports ads, because you get enough for, like, right-wing people getting your ads attacked, you know, you start losing revenue, so you just get chewed up and eaten up by different things and settle for different stuff.
Right.
Considering that since the FCC has such ridiculous controls, even though they deregulated, you know, the radio waves for radio and television, you know, it's, you know, you can't really just start one. So, you know, you get stuck with these cookie cutters around the country. It's what it is.
Yeah, and you probably first heard... Go ahead.
I was like, and the other thing that you said, like, it's not all these news report. It's also the weather. majority of these stations do not own their own weather radar. Regardless of what you guys really think, like they own their, we've got the Doppler 15, this is our special radar system. They don't have
it. Waze is actually starting to get into the traffic business because you may not realize it, but your local traffic, say in Indianapolis or mm-hmm. Dayton, is actually broadcast out of Chicago. There's a big room, a big factory in Chicago where they just cut weather and traffic reports for local radio stations and mm-hmm. local TV stations.
Yep.
So, and yeah, it's all a sham.
Yep. Helicopters are expensive.
Helicopters are out of business.
And,
so,
yeah. Oh, sorry.
You probably first heard about this when John Oliver lambasted them, and he hit the Terror Alert Desk segment. You know, they have a guy named Mark Hyman, a former Sinclair executive who also leads a commentary segment that it seems like it's a sounding board for the right. Quote unquote, listen up, Snowflake. Yes, I'm talking to you, the social justice warrior who whines for trigger warnings in safe spaces. College isn't a babysitter service. You know, these, when you read this in the Washington Post, you go, wow, that's really shocking. Or when you watch the John Oliver piece, you go, wow, that's really shocking. You know where they got their information? You know who did the reporting? Media Matters.
Oh.
Now, Media Matters is a left-wing outlet that collects information on the media and then spins things to be anti-conservative, pro-left. You know, if you go back and you just look up Sinclair Broadcasting on the Media Matters website, you'll start to notice the pattern that every time something shows up on CNN or John Oliver or some other outlet that is like the Washington Post, and then you're going back to the Media Matters website, you go, oh, they're basically just copying the Media Matters website.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the irony of this, that essentially you have a left-wing media outlet
mm-hmm.
that is sending content to their partners. MoveOn.org sent me an email to sign a petition against Sinclair Broadcasting Group today. These left-wing groups are feeding information to left-leaning journalists at the Washington Post, at Raw Story, at all these different sites, these clickbait sites, and that's how the news gets velocity. This is an uncovered story if it isn't for the groupthink of mm-hmm. of the left blogosphere and Media Matters really pushing this narrative. Now, I hate to sound like Rush Limbaugh, but that's the truth of it. And it happens on the right, too. I can tell you that when we had the Ron Paul interview in 2013 where we made news about Rand Paul, and Ron talked about his son, Rand, running for president, and I thought intelligently about it and said, you know what, why don't I hit The Blaze and Daily Caller and some of these other sites? The Daily Caller picked it up, and then The Blaze picked it up, and then it was picked up by all these other right-wing news sites. They all wrote their own little shell. They barely credited us. They stole our content, basically, for their own purposes. But the interview got 113,000 downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these sites like The Daily Caller and Vox and The Daily Wire and The Raw Story and Huffington Post, they carry a tremendous amount of weight on what we talk about and what the Washington Post and the New York Times covers. So you really have to pay attention to what these sites are covering, and you have to think critically and go, okay, let's step back and look at this. We're upset about propaganda on the right, and we know about it because of propaganda from the left. Okay? You, if you're a right-leaning listener of ours, you're probably sitting there going, I don't see the problem with this. They have a conservative commentator when most of their audience is in conservative-leaning areas. What's the problem with a conservative viewpoint being shown to a conservative-leaning area in Oklahoma City? That's what they want to see anyways. And I, as a rational news consumer, can sit there and go, is this a big deal? Okay, well, let me see here. Their responsibility as a news station is to serve their community. They're concerned about irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. they basically just took the narrative of the left and reported it, and it wasn't good enough.
Right.
So you're being fed information as if it is factual information from all sides all the time. And you just have to step back and realize that if you are receiving any sound into your ears, there is bias attached to it. And it is your responsibility to determine what is true or not.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
It's one of the things that Andrew Breitbart, you were swinging about and going after media managers on these left-wing sites because he was commenting on like how they would do this and how they would work and going through this. And that's why the left really hated Breitbart, because he would point this crap out to them.
Yeah.
You know, he would show them like, look what they're doing. You know, they're tricking you. You're being tricked. This is what's going on, you know. Ooh, the storm's probably picking up outside. Oof.
Yeah, we've had a lot of storms today. Deadspin's article that got all the attention, Deadspin, formerly of, if we disappear, it's because we had the power go out. I apologize if for some reason we disappear. We'll try and come back. If not, Harry and I will carry on. We'll send it out via smoke signals. The Deadspin article is basically just a regurgitation of the Media Matters research. It, you know, just like the Washington Post story, they talk about Boris Estefan. They talk about the anti-John Kerry propaganda. They talk about the last week with John Oliver stuff. I mean, it is, if you really want to know where a lot of these outrages come from, go look at the Media Matters website. And on the right, it's the Media Research Council. Like, these two groups are just as powerful as Sinclair Broadcasting is. And that's what nobody wants to actually wake up and start talking about. You're being fed propaganda at all points, all the time. We got a couple calls on the line. If you want to weigh in on the Sinclair Broadcasting, you got just about 10 minutes to do so. Call in at 317-699-7236. Again, that's 317-699-7236. I'm going to open up the line. I'm going to ask your name. Please state your name and then get right on the subject. Get going. Let's make this interesting. Let's start with the 847 number. You're on We Are Libertarians. What's your name?
This is Reinhold.
Hey, Reinhold. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So what I find interesting about all of this is that this is somehow news when this has been going on for at least several decades. Right.
Right. And
the Talking Points memo website that was created was all because the parties would put out talking points that would get picked up by the news companies, news organizations, and pushed out. I mean, this isn't anything new. This is propaganda. And the irony of John Oliver talking about propaganda is lost on so many people. It's amazing to me.
You know, it's
because John Oliver is nothing but propaganda.
It's funny you should say that, because the Daily Caller has this series that they're starting to put out called Democrats Write the News. The Daily Caller, Tucker Carlson helped found it. And listen to, this is solely on CNN and MSNBC, and it is a bunch of left-leaning politicians and media pundits from those channels trying to introduce the term weapons of war.
Weapons. They are simply weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
No, weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
It's weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
Yeah, weapons of war.
Yeah, weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
It's weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
It's weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
Weapons of war. Weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
Weapons of war.
And here is just the tone about the Sinclair media outlet. And here's the problem with these big news outlets like MSNBC feigning concern for this, is they're engaged in it too. They're just trying to beat down a competitor in Sinclair. It's like the Laura Ingraham story, which we will talk about next. Of course, MSNBC is outraged and wants to run wall-to-wall with it because it beats down a competitor. So here is the media talking about propaganda and Sinclair Broadcasting,
which we all disdain, depending on what our description is of them. The concern, I think,
there's a concern.
The concerns resurfaced.
Is that concerning to you?
Isn't that concerning?
Nicole, I share that concern greatly.
Mayor, should we be concerned?
Should be a little bit concerning, particularly when it echoes
concerns. It's not journalism, it's propaganda.
To run a propaganda clip.
This isn't journalism, this is propaganda.
Shoving propaganda down local anchors' throats.
Scripted propaganda and accusation.
So do I think that it is necessarily a top-down strategy? Maybe, but it's probably just groupthink. And journalists are one of the tightest on groupthink of any industry that I know of. I mean, the outgrowth of this language, the choice of a negative word, Reinhold, really describing it as propaganda when it's a common thing that happens in the news industry is propaganda in and of itself.
Exactly. And that's the irritating thing, is that today the journalism standards have so decreased. It's you can't find hardly anybody actually doing journalism anymore. When you watch CNN, you're watching a video podcast because they don't do much of anything different than what you're doing, where you'll give a little bit of news and then you'll spend time talking about it. And
right.
That's all they do. They're just talking about the news and they're putting their biases on there. And if you watch enough of these episodes that they do, if somebody starts to go off script, because all these interviews that they do with people who aren't their regular contributors, they pre-interview all of them to say, what are you going to talk about? Here's what we're going to talk about. These are the points we expect you to make. If you get on there and you go off script, you'll get cut off the air.
Right.
They're manipulating the news. Right. So for anybody in that realm to take a high horse about this seems very disingenuous to me. But the same thing goes for, you know, why do you want what's wrong with conservative news in conservative areas? News shouldn't be, you know, biased like that. You should be able to report the facts and let other people decide. This whole talking about things, we need to start separating opinion from news and clearly identify when we're talking about something that's news oriented and something that's opinion of the people who are talking, because they're melding too much together these days.
But I'd argue that the notion that the news was ever just the facts never really existed in the first place. I think that's why you saw the rise of the Reagan Revolution. That's why you saw the rise of, you know, Buckley and National Review, and then you started to see, once the internet hit, a rise of conservative media and Fox News, because the news that was being reported was inherently, maybe it wasn't left-leaning, I would say that news is often biased towards cynicism and biased towards government sourcing. Like if you see a news article, it's if a journalist at one of these major newspapers that we read here every week, if they get a quote from a government source, that's like the gold standard for them. You know, they're biased towards government outlets. Okay.
Right, and they'll take whatever they say as gospel, even though there's nothing to prove that they're telling you the truth, even though we know that several people, that these are people who are getting paid to lie.
Right.
You know, they're on a payroll to lie to us. I mean, Clapper lied in front of Congress, and nobody did anything about it, which is frustrating. But that's how Rush Limbaugh got his start, right? I mean, that's why he became so popular and why it was such a big deal at the time, because there was no other alternative view to what was being said on the news cycles.
Yep.
Right. So that's how it was. But we still had, I think we had like a golden era in the 50s and 60s maybe that was a little bit more, well, they really kind of tried. You know, look at the Watergate. When the Watergate stuff was coming out, these were reporters going after the president, and they did everything they could to make sure they had the facts, they had backup sources, they had everything nailed down before they went to story with it. Whereas nowadays, you just hear a rumor from some guy who heard something from some guy, and you're going on the air with unsubstantiated rumors and calling it news.
Yeah. All right, Reinhold, thanks for calling in. We're going to the 765 number here in just a moment. State your name and then join the conversation just right out of the gate. Tell us what you're going to say. Yeah, I would say that TV news is heavily biased towards entertainment. If you are watching television news, you're watching an entertainment product. Please turn off your app, your radio. You can listen on the Bob and I'm used to saying that. The We Are Libertarians app. 765, what's your name and what do you have to say about Sinclair Broadcasting?
I'm Tad Western, and I love Sinclair Broadcasting Group.
You old son of a bitch, I bet you do.
I love me, yeah. I actually, Tad Talk, Tad Western just got syndicated in three networks.
Really, oh, did it? Nice. On Sinclair Broadcasting?
Yeah, I don't know where.
You don't know where, though?
What's going on, you? No, I don't know. My lawyer's handling that. All the deets. I'm just a content producer. I'm not a... I don't handle the back end business deals. You know me.
Well, Tad Talk.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Tad Talk heard on the We Are Libertarians Network. You can find it anywhere podcasts are downloaded. Is huge in Turkey.
Yeah, massive.
It is very, very large in Turkey.
Yes.
I don't know why, but the Turks love me.
Tad Western is the Turkish Bieber.
I'm way prettier, and I hit way higher notes than Bieber ever thought about.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say, Tad?
No, you guys just keep up the good work. I'm just sitting here listening from my cell phone, harassing Melissa Hubbard via Facebook.
Yeah, let me get to that. Thanks, Tad. Melissa. I'm going to tell this story. Not because I'm irritated.
Allegedly.
Because I am. But I want to make a larger point about the next story. You can get on the line if you've got something to say. If you've got a hot take on the whole Laura Ingraham, David Hogg thing, that is 317-699-7236. Get on hold now. So some of you may remember way back on episode 116, we interviewed someone named Melissa Hubbard, a.k.a. Melissa Donahue. And Melissa's a former dominatrix, and she wrote a book called Spanking City Hall. Now, Melissa is an interesting character and someone that I had considered a friend for about 9 years. Now, Melissa is very outspoken. She is a local journalist. Allegedly investigating Pizzagate hardcore, she's a huge Alex Jones fan. And she's really close to making one hell of a defamation case if I chose to file the lawsuit. So way back in 2016 here in Indiana, we talked about it at the time. We had two candidates for governor. There was a guy who was running named Jim Wallace. Now, Jim is... a very accomplished man, great resume, very impressive, West Point, Harvard, business owner, wealthy, but had two arrests for domestic violence against two different wives a decade apart. Now, that's a problem if you're going to run for governor. And he was omitting that fact when he would go and talk to some of the top Libertarian Party leaders. And that leaving it out of the discussion angered Rex Bell so much that he decided to run for governor. Now, I was opposed to Wallace, not because I think that Wallace is a bad guy. I think Wallace made a mistake, and Wallace has apologized for said mistake, and I believe in the power of redemption. But I also think he didn't really have a good plan on addressing that. And I knew for a fact that the state party of the Republicans, because I have friends who were working at the state party at the time, already had the commercials written. So, you know, it was just clear to me that, like, we're going to go into this race. If we have him as our candidate, we're going to be at a disadvantage. And I kept pointing that out to people. Well, my good friend at the time, Melissa, disagreed with me. She was a big Wallace supporter. And for about 4 months, we disagreed, and then she became, you know, Melissa's a former dominatrix, and she understands how to aggressively get her point across. She even told a person at the time who sent me the screenshot saying, you know, I'm going to gaslight these guys into doing what I want them to do, which gaslighting is manipulation. And it just was a constant drumbeat of just it was a pretty shitty time, pretty shitty period in my life, honestly. And because of all the trouble she was causing behind the scenes, eventually it went public, and she just got nasty. You know, she was outing the victim of domestic violence. She was just doing a lot of things to try and get her candidate to win that I felt were inappropriate, and I, being outspoken, said so. And that caught her ire. And so there came a point where Greg Lenz, my former co-host, made the right decision, and I stand by this decision wholeheartedly. He published it on my website, where he published a meme with the mugshot and the details of the story and basically outlined what the Republicans were going to say in their ad. And, man, you would have thought that we had put up child pornography on the party website. Like, the gumption of us meme boys of liberty to point out exactly what the Republicans were going to say 6 months from that point. It was atrocious, and we were juvenile, and it was really, it was disappointing to have so many friends at that point just distance themselves from me and turn on We Are Libertarians and Greg. And it's still a point of contention, although it's much, much better now between We Are Libertarians and all of the 20, 25 people who make that up and the local Libertarian Party. During that time period, Aaron, that sweet boy.
Allegedly.
No, Aaron has admitted that he made a meme.
Allegedly.
With a velociraptor.
Allegedly.
That basically said Jurassic cunt.
Allegedly.
And Melissa and I personally told everybody in our group, please leave her alone. Let's let this die. She will use anything against us and blow it way out of proportion and anything to get attention. And she's, boy, has she done that. And so I asked him to take it down, you know, but I'm certainly not going to apologize to her for something I did not do. He was making a joke about someone who, let's face it, at this point, never mind.
Can't understand normal thinking.
Right, can't understand normal thinking at all, Harry. And now, every 2 to 3 months, Melissa brings this up. For 2 years... It is unbelievable, the stuff that she is saying now. She posted today, my demands, apology for the Indiana Libertarian Party for not protecting women from sexual harassment and a plan to prevent it in the future. I will not shut up about the abuse I experienced from Chris Spangle and Greg Lenz and the other boys in the We Are Libertarians posse of bullies until this issue is dealt with appropriately and publicly. Okay, well, nothing was done to you. That meme was in a private group, and one person sent it to you in a private message. It was never posted publicly. So, what? It was a private joke amongst friends. And let's be honest, after 4 months of gaslighting, I didn't disagree with the sentiment, and I still don't. I think that Melissa is a malignant narcissist, and I think she is a terrible person. And I think she has given me one hell of a defamation case.
Mm-hmm.
She's now going online saying that I am a misogynist, that I am sexually harassing women, that I am, let's see, what are some of the other things? Just all today. 2 years after the fact, Harry,
mm-hmm.
I owe no explanation for my vote, which was also made by the man who ran for national chair and who wasn't harassed sexually or otherwise. I have a right to support whoever I wish without putting up with 4 months of nonstop sexual harassment. I never would sexually harass Melissa in my lifetime. Like, Melissa is 20 years older than I am and was a friend.
Yeah, and it's not that if she was 20 years younger and stuff like that, that you would sexualize her. You don't sexually harass people, period.
I don't.
Violation of the NAP.
Right.
We follow the NAP here at We Libertarians.
Yeah. From the outside, people keep saying, oh, get over it. But it's hard to get over it when every 2 weeks or every 2 months, you get some person saying insane things about you, and other people start believing it, and you have to defend behavior that didn't happen every 2 months.
Yep.
So, Sean, this guy Sean writes, after dancing naked guy, they just need to start over and rebrand with some adults running things. Chris Spangle did a nice job for the LPIN, and I say that as someone who thought a lot of the meme stuff that got tossed around was unprofessional and juvenile. Well, Sean, it wasn't juvenile because it was the same ad the Republicans were going to run.
Yeah.
And unprofessional, he's really big on professionalism in the Libertarian Party, despite the fact that his friend Denise and Melissa were two of the people who doxed a victim of domestic violence. It's not very professional.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa responded, "Chris Spangle commanded how I was to vote. When I didn't fall in line, the attack started. He sent his posse to my page to denigrate me as a slut, whore, and prostitute. Brett Bittner joined in too. Brett also had a paid position within the libertarian movement. The boys, who would also invite me to public casual events and then proceed to dictate what I was allowed to talk about and what I wasn't. Because I would not vote for the candidate they wanted for governor, I was also told to stop thinking with my pussy," which I didn't know happened, but yikes. "Now, in the corporate environment, this level of abuse would cause Spangle to be fired and his company sued with damages paid to that woman. I don't have that option with the LP, but I can use my voice to demand a public apology. I would also like to see an organization dedicate itself to be a welcoming, not hostile environment for women. Instead of doing that, they double down in support of the harassers and demonize the person with the complaint. That's also partly why I demanded Joe, the state chair, refund my membership fee." First off, listener, do you think that I would ever command anyone to vote anyway?
Well, you know, you've got to command Sarah to vote for James Neese.
Well, that's one thing, but that's, you know, that's supporting your family.
But yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't dictate to the audience what they should think. I say what I think, and you can wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
When she didn't fall in line, the attack started. There were no attacks. Everyone left you alone because they were hoping you'd shut up because of your abusive behavior. You were never called a slut, a whore, or a prostitute. In fact, we thought so highly of you that we brought you on to promote your book about being a dominatrix.
Right.
If we really thought that you were a gross lech on society, we wouldn't have promoted you.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I think most of what you wrote is a complete fiction in that book, you were still my friend, and I still gave you a platform.
Yep.
Bittner used to have Liberty and Chill, and she came to a Liberty and Chill, and she wrecked it because she started a fight about all the Wallace stuff. And so Bittner said, "Listen, this is not a party event. This is my private invitation to my friends to come and hang out. Can you not talk about candidates next time you come?" She was you would have thought that the government passed a law to prevent her from speaking.
Right.
She was censored. It was outrageous.
Because she hijacked an entire Liberty and Chill night. It was,
yes.
It was horrendous. It was awful. And they made sure, and that how Liberty and Chill got that one rule, no stumping for candidates.
Right.
You know? And I've toyed with that, tried to stump for Vermin Supreme, and Bittner shut me down. Censored me.
Right. He,
trying to get my pony.
He applied the rule to everyone because he wanted to be fair.
Yep.
But You see how these little bits of truth were 2 years on have been spun into something so nefarious, and you see all these comments and you go, why are people believing this? You know, more misogyny from the boys. "I told Chris Spangle the sexual torture I endured as a little girl and that my abuser's name was Donaghy and how I always hated having to wear that name. When I published my book, I published it under Hubbard. Spangle knew that too. He and his bully posse contacted Facebook to tell them I was using a fake name, Hubbard." That one is a new one to me. I'm literally just reading that one for the first time. "Facebook made me submit identification, and I legally changed my name, so they made me Donaghy on here." I had no idea of any of that. I don't have time for any of that.
I'm sure that happened, just like Ted Western.
Right. So, you know, "I was using the name Hubbard to escape the trauma." You're using your trauma to make a point on Facebook to win an argument. You know, it is ridiculous, and it is irritating to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It is irritating to deal with a person in public who is taking things not out of context, but literally making things up about you.
Yep.
And attacking you.
And the majority of the people that have dealt with this, have been in this muck, have her on block already.
Right.
So it's not like a lot of people can see this. So a lot of people are seeing it and saying like, hey, have you seen this?
Right.
What are you talking about? I have ever blocked. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. No, I have. She has me blocked, but I never see any of her stuff. People send me every time I'm mentioned, they send me her stuff. And like, it just makes me mad. I'd rather, like, at this point today, it's ruined my whole day because I've spent my whole day fielding private messages from people going, what is this about? Nobody did anything wrong, and no one owes Melissa an apology at all. Aaron did nothing wrong. He made a meme for a private Facebook group. And some idiot named John sent it to her because he thought he was supposed to as a joke. No, why would you do that? Greg did nothing wrong. Okay, Greg was admittedly offensive, is admittedly offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Follow him at athwarthistory.com. I will give my former co-host a plug, athwarthistory.com.
But the Republicans were unabashedly, this is what they were going to do.
Right.
Because they're like, we're just, you know, and we'll gobble up that 6% or more what Rex would get.
Right.
They would just gobble it up.
Yeah. They would completely diminish it. Okay, so why do I bring this up?
Because they were worried about, because at that time, this is the thing to back that up, right? It would have been Bell, Pence, and Greg. But then that got switched up and became when Pence went with Trump, so it was Holcomb.
Right. Can you plug in the Mevo, please? Harry, get the Mevo.
I wish we had some sort of Trello and a checklist.
A checklist. Listen, I'm using Trello for my own personal organization. Give me a break. So why do I say this? Because this instance is a fantastic case study on how to propagandize and how to create a narrative and how to abuse other people and diminish their voice. Okay. Now, obviously, my voice has not been diminished because ultimately everyone knows Melissa's crazy. She's literally a nut job.
It was a done like refreshing back of like why this whole Wallace thing and why we know like the Republicans are going to attack him.
Right.
Because at that time, that was after RFRA, all this other bad baggage that Pence had. So the possibility of like, you know, Republicans and other right wing people leaving him and going to a libertarian was a very high possibility at that time. So attacking a libertarian was very high on their
priority
list.
Point because Mike Pence was running.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, when he won,
mm-hmm.
everyone agrees, including the Pence people, that if that campaign had gone on 2 months longer, he would have lost.
Oh, yeah.
To the conservative Democrat, John Gregg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rematch. And Rupert had gotten the highest vote total of any libertarian gubernatorial candidate ever.
Yep.
And we were going to run a West Point graduate, Harvard, military guy, you know, wealthy businessman from Fishers, like great credentials, or Rex Bell, the most successful libertarian candidate in history,
mm-hmm.
but not as threatening to the party because he hadn't been a Republican.
Right.
Wallace became a Libertarian Party member about 4 weeks before
mm-hmm.
he was going to run for governor. And so he Wallace was definitely a threat. The Pence people were taking no chances.
Right. None.
And there was going to be there's going to be a subtle underground drumbeat against our candidate if Wallace
mm-hmm.
had been nominated.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter because I never did anything that I felt was inappropriate.
Yeah.
And Jim Wallace and I can still have a conversation. I can still have a conversation with literally every person who served on his team. I'm friendly with all of them. It was a good competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they felt that the meme that Greg and We Are Libertarians put out was ugly, but I'm sorry, your past is ugly. It wasn't us who got arrested twice.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a convincing argument as to why that isn't a big deal, which they never did, mm-hmm. you don't deserve to be our candidate.
Right.
So, but here's my point. You can take small kernels of truth and small little incidences, and if you subtly attack, and finally get a reaction, no matter how subtle, you can then twist that and manipulate that and repeat that over a long period of time to the point that you believe it yourself, and then you can start to try and convince other people. Now, I am fortunate in that I don't feel my reputation is going to be damaged by this person, okay? Because anyone that knows me or my character knows that I'm not going to assemble a team of people to go on a woman's page and call her a whore or a slut. Maybe I'll say, go look at this. Can you believe this? Because I do that often. Yeah. I did that today. I was like, can you believe this shit? But certainly never anything that is abusive. I'm not an abusive person at all. And so when people hear her claims, they laugh. Okay, because I try to live my life in a very straightforward, open, and honest way. I say things here in front of thousands of people that I shouldn't say. And trust me, there's a cost to openness and authenticity in your private life when you're, you know, and we've dealt with that together. But I see so many parallels of what she's doing in our national politics. She has every right to say what she wants to say, and she may believe exactly what she's saying. She may believe that all that stuff happened. In her mind, that may be her reality. Okay? But that doesn't make me... I don't owe her an apology, right? So I look at, like, the Laura Ingraham situation, where Laura Ingraham, famous for her book Shut Up and Sing, you know, telling LeBron James, just dribble and shut up. Laura Ingraham's thing is to be flippant and glib whenever a celebrity or politician starts to speak out.
Right.
Laura Ingraham goes on Twitter and says, let me read the exact thing. Because, again, I thought Laura Ingraham had said something really bad. It's like the Sinclair thing. I had thought, because you kind of hear stuff or you see stuff on Facebook or you read stuff on Twitter, because I follow a lot of, like, political reporters and people who work for all these clickbait mills like Raw Story and Daily Caller. And so I'm like thinking, wow, did she call somebody the N-word? I don't think I have the exact quote, but David Hogg was being interviewed by TMZ saying, yeah, even though I have a 4.1, I got rejected by UCLA and all these other different colleges. And Laura Ingraham on Twitter said, you know, I wish he'd stop whining.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he, in fairness to David Hogg, I didn't get whining from that clip, but in terms of what actually is said in our modern political discourse and on Twitter especially, calling someone a whiner is not that bad.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, so what does David Hogg do? David Hogg organizes a list. Somehow, I'm sure he was sitting there thinking, well, I'm really glad that I've been watching Laura Ingraham every night, taking a list of all her sponsorships, so now I can publish this because she called me a whiner.
Media Matters.
Thank you. Media Matters. See, here's the thing about the Parkland kids. These Parkland kids are not thinking for themselves. Okay, they believe what they're saying, but they're not coming up with the points that they're saying. The David Hogg is kind of the most famous for this. He says stuff that is so far beyond the pale, that is so outrageous, like that is so egregious that if, you know, what's the Morning Joe? Joe Scarborough said it, he'd be fired.
Right.
Because there would be a legitimate outrage that someone would say something so egregious. You know, saying that Marco Rubio took $1.07 for every Florida student and he's complicit in the deaths of every Parkland student because he's taken NRA donations. Kid, do you think that he didn't flip-flop? The NRA donated to him because he agrees with them. He didn't change his vote.
Right, yeah. And the, you know, and the NRA is not even that, you know, like, it. The NRA likes gun control, though.
Right. As Grant Headley says, good job. You have a great memory of fairly useless stuff, which is exactly what it is.
I had a 3.9. You know, are we just going to drop our GPAs?
Oh, I had a 2.987.
Nice.
Now, I needed a 3.0 to get scholarships to Marion College, where I really wanted to go. I got accepted, but I couldn't afford it, so I had to go to IUPUI, which everyone in Indianapolis knows that's the college you go when you can't get in anywhere
whoa,
else.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I will not have you sit here and disparage IUPUI. IUPUI is a fine school. You have to fight to get into it. It has the same standards to get into it as you would Purdue and IU. It has a lesser price tag than Purdue and IU. And
not if they let a solid C student like me in.
They let solid C students into IU and Purdue all the time. It's a state school. Okay?
At least it wasn't WGU.
Screw you. Okay. All right. When I can't wait to see you at WGU in a year.
Harry's at WGU. I was just tweaking him.
Yeah.
So
dare you, Trigger.
Not even a week had gone by. I think it was like 3 days before, 2 days before. David Hogg was on some blog website, one of these, you know, mysteriously funded, how do they have 8 million writers type websites, giving an interview. And he basically said, I'm going to paraphrase, but ironically, the most damning phrase of this was edited out of the video because I heard the audio of it, and then I went to find the video of it, and they had taken that line out. But he said, you know, I don't understand how these politicians, these pieces of shit, get away with just wanting money. Then they're so greedy. They wouldn't even care if the blood of children were sprayed across their face because these politicians just want money. Right. Like, if I said that, I should rightly be given all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody peeped. Nobody made a peep. But Laura Ingraham calls him a whiner. And you would think that she called him the N-word.
The kids. Someone protect these children. Protect this 17-and-a-half-year-old. He's going to be 18 in like 5 months. And
but the thing is,
he needs protection.
The media loves this kid because he's saying what they want to say about gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And he can get away with it because if you criticize him, then you are the one that gets hit. You are the one that is the bad person. How dare you? This person's been through a traumatic situation. They're a kid. What's wrong with you?
And they won't go on their shows to debate them. They will, like, only thing they want to do is attack ads so they can't speak.
Right.
It's all about money to them.
Right.
Both ways. That's why, like, he tweeted out with the kind, like, he tweeted out, like, a lot of sponsorships from, like, who donated to that event, that massive, massive event. You know,
right.
So it's,
and the right is doing it with this kid, Kyle Kashuv. Because Newsweek senior writer Kurt Eichenwald said something, and CNN commentator Joan Walsh both attacked Kashuv on Twitter, and Kashuv tried to call for a boycott against Eichenwald.
They attack him aggressively
right.
on Twitter. I mean, you should look at his Twitter. It's disgusting.
Kurt Eichenwald?
Kyle's.
Kyle Kashuv. Okay.
Yeah, Kyle's is ridiculous.
Of course.
And Kyle's a little different. He's not arranging marches and doing that. Kyle is actually meeting with senators and stuff like that and talking with people about policy. So he's actually is trying to affect policy, not trying to strum up a base to go vote in the midterms. So
right.
It's different.
As David French in the National Review, go ahead, Harry.
Which I feel bad for Kyle, because while Kyle says the things that I also like to hear, I feel that robs him of, you know, the last bit of childhood that he has. I don't want him there. I want him to, you know, sit there, be a kid, because, you know, you have all this time to be in this space. Be a kid, get out of the public space. But he's having to take this because of the view that he has to be a counterbalance to these other people that get pushed there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which I also feel bad is, like, because, like, this whole David Hogg thing is, like, when it's going to eventually happen. He's going to be old news.
Right.
What the heck is going to happen then?
Well, that, David French in this National Review article writes something that I think is very, very, very prescient. I hope someone is talking to these Parkland kids, telling them the cold, hard truth. The vast majority of their new friends love them because they are useful. If they deviate 1 inch from the tribal lines, they'll quickly learn how scarce their true friends are. Teens are, quote-unquote, powerful only when they agree with powerful adults. This is an adult fight and has been from the beginning. You know, and earlier in the article, he says, Hogg isn't the bully here. His powerful adult allies are. They built this culture. That is the culture of the progressive corporate boardroom, the progressive academy, the all too many sectors of media and the arts. In this culture, Hogg is a weapon to be wielded so long as he's useful. He's the latest in a long line of victims slash activists who spend their time as the face of an immense movement pushed forward by the media until that moment when the news cycle moves on, other victims emerge, and other outrages inflame the masses. He Ingram apologized and said, you know, I'm sorry. And he said, I don't accept your apology. I won't accept your apology until you apologize for every person you've ever hurt with your words, which is a ridiculous thing. That's right. Such a 17-year-old, I've got a high platform thing to say. It's just as ridiculous as Melissa saying, I refuse to shut up until they apologize to me, which she knows is never going to happen because she knows none of us did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Aaron should apologize for calling her the C word, but she's kind of acting like it. And if that makes me a misogynist for thinking that your behavior is atrocious and that lying about me and my friends and trying to ruin my brand is inappropriate and irresponsible and reckless and you're defrauding the people who are reading that, don't care. You're a gross person. And I'm sure Laura Ingram feels the same way about David Hogg to some extent, because here's a kid who has gone out and poke, 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 poke. You're a whiner. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here's the 17 sponsors that Media Matters has provided for me to tweet out. Instead of saying, ignoring it,
mm-hmm.
which...
Which, if he's supposed to know, you know, Twitter, because he's not like, you know, these older people, he knows how to freaking use it, how to use that, then he should know how to use the block button.
Right. And
teenagers that age use worse language. If you don't think teenagers use that worse language, then get on Xbox, you know, live. Go play. Just play some Call of Duty. Listen to some teenagers play. Right. Play with some teenagers.
And so here's my warning to David Hogg, because I'm sure he's listening. The Melissa affair really led me to a place on this show and in my life that I didn't like. I think it was episode 242 that I really covered it. And today got those juices flowing again. This culture of bullying, you know, you bully me, so I'm going to bully you back, and I'm going to one-up you, and I'm going to bully you and bully you, instead of saying, thank you, Laura, I appreciate your apology. Like, have some humility. Like, it leads you to a place where you lose touch with yourself, and you don't like yourself very much. And it leads to it wrecks your relationships with people. Mm-hmm. It wrecks your reputation, you know. So it's just not a good place, you know. And I feel sorry for the type of person who feels that it is always their job to play the victim to gain a political point. But I also feel sorry for the people that feel that they have to buy into that game, you know, and it's just not a good road that this kid's going down. And I think there's going to be a point where he looks back and goes, ugh, I was a douche. Because who doesn't think that about their 17-year-old selves? But, you know, David Hogg is doing bad things, and he is being encouraged to do bad things by people who do bad things for a living. And so he is a useful tool. And yes, he is irritating. And yes, he is annoying. And yes, he is lying. And yes, he is saying things that aren't true. And yes, he is trying to build and further a culture that none of us want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a child who is being encouraged by people who are standing behind him, whispering in his ear, do this next. Do you think David Hogg came up with the idea for a boycott against Laura Ingram? Nope.
Nope.
Not a chance in hell.
Nope.
The March on Washington, the person who applied for the permit was the head of Greenpeace.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. She works for Greenpeace. Like, this is all being organized by professional partisans.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's how they got professional bands, cleanup right. crew, the permits, the security detail to make sure the press releases went out to the media. Come on. You've seen teenagers do projects.
So, yeah. And I hate it. Like, this is 2 years ago. This is a dumb thing. This is a dumb thing for this woman to be upset about. This is a dumb thing for people to be upset at Laura Ingraham about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a dumb game that we're playing where, and it's people who have that victim mentality, people who especially are on the left, poke, 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 poke. Whoa!
Whoa, you can't say that. Right. You know, just, you can't do that to me. It's
a censorial impulse. It is not censorship. Okay, it is not censorship for David. It is, in a way, censorship for David Hogg to call for a boycott, because that has a chilling effect on other advertisers, and revenue is really where you hit. But because advertisers don't want to be associated with controversy.
Right.
It is, don't punish these advertisers for pulling off of Ingram's show, because here's the truth. They're pulling off for a week, mm-hmm. and sending out a press release.
Right.
And they weren't spending that much money anyways. The people who ran an ad probably were spending a very minimal amount of money. It's like when Nike says they'll no longer be sponsoring Alex Jones. They have had all of their ads pulled from Alex Jones. Well, they go and purposely buy Alex Jones for a week, and they spend like $50 just so they can legally and ethically say, yes, we are an advertiser of Alex Jones and we're not doing that anymore, because it's a PR tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you hear that sponsors are pulling and participating in a boycott, know that that's a very limited amount of time, and they may have been spending a limited amount of money just to participate in the PR opportunity that this presents.
It's kind of like when Kroger talked about like the whole AR-15 and selling to rifles under 21-year-olds. They're like, we're going to do this. And they did it under the brand of Kroger, not the little small little store that they owned. the little small brand that they own,
right.
that does all the guns and stuff like that. Nope, Kroger put it out this brand.
So right. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
So be good consumers. If you want to get in on the David Hogg, Laura Ingraham stuff, 317-699-7236. You got like 5 minutes to do it. So yes, it is. You have to be an educated consumer of information.
I'm concerned for David Hogg because that the camera's so focused at him, and I think he also doesn't have this rationalized brain, and I'm afraid for him, just like I'm afraid for all young males going into college.
Right.
You know, they're getting ready to go in, and he's going to have to deal with college life now with his massive magnifying glass on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost recommend him, like, don't go until the light gets off you, because I'm saying something is going to happen. You're going to screw up. You're going to do something, and the thing is, you've poked so much, you're almost asking for the bear to destroy you from just doing something crazy that a normal college student would do.
I went when I went to SFL. Gary from Teen Mom was on my plane.
Mm.
Now here's a guy who was on television a decade ago. And everybody was like, that's Gary from Teen Mom. Everybody's watching his every movement. Like, that's a very low-level celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very low-level figure. And once you add politics, like, it's like the must-read situation with Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does it, and nobody really has an issue. But once you add politics or a political slant to something, that's when it becomes a nuclear football. And so if you're a political figure, like, I can't imagine what like Sean Hannity's tweets are like. I can't imagine what Rachel Maddow's tweets are like, or Donald Trump. Like I would never manage my own Twitter, and I feel sorry for the sap that has to manage their Twitter, because I've managed major brands going through a painful time, and it's not fun. It literally ruins your day. Like, it ruins your day sitting there watching waves of negativity from the. It's like a fire hose of humanity, and it ain't pretty. And I cannot, I hate that everything is becoming so political, but it is.
Sometimes, and I feel that way, like, especially when the they all started going after Wizard of the Coast and for a lot of the stuff for the child predators and the pedophile ring inside of the pseudo inside the Magic of the Gathering moderators tournament,
right?
And everyone started going after that Twitter feed. I couldn't imagine being the manager of that Twitter for that company, because you're like, I'm tweeting games all day. This is a fun
right.
What? Why is someone tweeting sex offender registry stuff to the Twitter page? Why are they doing that?
Right.
Why are they doing this? What is going on? And you having to delete it and try to post game stuff and like, look at this new game. Did you hear about this? And then replying to tweets. It's got to be crazy.
Well, you get one person like this Melissa character who, you know, and in the era of Me Too, is claiming that you sexually harassed her and that you're a misogynist and you hate women. It's like, how many people are reading that going, oh, wow, what a dick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just have to get comfortable with the fact that there are people out there who do not like you and are not going to be nice to you, and mm-hmm. they don't give a fuck about you.
Yep.
Very few people do.
Yep.
So it is an emotionally, and I am certainly not on any kind of major level in the public eye or anything like that. Like, but, you know, I've spent some time around those people, and those are not political people, but I can't imagine that somebody like David Hogg is emotionally capable of handling what he's got to be going through, especially in the middle of, like, the worst trauma. Mm-hmm. It's like, we were talking beforehand, like, I'm real stressed out. I need a vacation. I'm going through some, you know, shit with changing medications. And I'm just like, I'm getting manic and stressed, like overdoing it. You know, I'm over functioning. And like, I kind of see that in this David Hogg kid where he's overdoing it. Mm-hmm. He's over functioning.
Right.
You know, and there are people that are using that to their advantage. And those are the gross people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's part of me that really hates David Hogg because he's a lying little propagandist.
But feel for him.
He's also 17.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's why they use him, because there's always that caveat. But he's 17. So this ruined my day on Facebook. This ruined my day. Seeing all this negativity and all this lies, and like, everybody was supportive and like having fun and laughing about it, but it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks to read lies about yourself. For someone who reads so convincingly like it happened to her. And I continue my attack on social media by reading you something from SciPost. Giving up Facebook leads to a drop in the stress-related hormone cortisol, study finds. Quitting Facebook for 5 days was associated with a drop in the stress hormone cortisol, according to a preliminary study. Cortisol makes you fat, by the way. So if you cortisol helps, I don't know if it blocks testosterone, but it definitely is a hormone that doesn't contribute. It actively fights against muscle building and encourages mm-hmm. weight gain, because essentially your lizard brain says, we're under attack, we're under attack, we're under attack, we're under attack, store fat so we can survive, store fat. And so cortisol keeps you fat. Facebook is making you fat, Harry.
Is that why you got nothing but creatine and protein in your fridge?
That's right.
He's got like a gallon jug of egg white.
It's not a gallon. It's a quart.
It's a gallon jug.
I'll enjoy some egg whites along with my
He's
regular.
He's got several quarts, which adds up to a gallon.
Two, Melissa. Okay, it's two, you liar. So Eric Vanman writes or says, I have been a Facebook user for 10 years. I talked to my co-authors about how I occasionally had to quit Facebook from time to time because I found it overwhelming as the number of my friends grew. We talked and realized that this was happening to them and their friends. Whenever I'd quit Facebook, I'd feel an immediate sense of release that lasted for days. Relief. But then I would start feeling like I was missing out. FOMO, fear of missing out. And I would rejoin and the cycle would start all over again. So the researchers, they grabbed 138 active Facebook users. 60 participants were randomly assigned to a condition in which they were instructed to completely give up Facebook for 5 days, while remaining 78 participants continued to use Facebook as normal. They surveyed the participants regarding their life satisfaction, stress, mood, loneliness, before and after the experiment. Researchers found the short break from Facebook had positive and negative impacts on the participants' stress and well-being. People have long reported in other research that Facebook can make them feel bad about themselves or it stresses them. So our research shows that quitting Facebook for just 5 days is enough to reduce one's level of the stress hormone cortisol. The control group, who didn't give up Facebook, did not show this. So another reason to take a look. Listen, I'm not quitting Facebook. I am not quitting Facebook. I will still have a presence there because it's an important part of my career. Okay? I can't use it. But I have been actively trying to take a look at the time I'm spending on it. And I said, you know what? Yesterday, I'm deleting the apps. I'm getting the apps off my phone. Redownloaded them within 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Not all of them, but the Facebook app has been gone.
So weak.
But, yeah, I am. I'm very weak. But, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to get so much done. I got all this laundry to do. I got all this reading I'm going to do. I have 125 library books checked out. And I'm, like, sitting there going, I'm going to be so productive today. I spent 3 hours arguing on Facebook and Twitter about nonsense, dumb shit. It's like it made the problem worse. But it doesn't matter. I'm soldiering on.
You could have spent 4 hours playing Paladins with Niece and I, and you could have at least been like ranked, you know, platinum 5 by then, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? You at least could accomplish something, okay?
I could have accomplished something, but yeah. I didn't.
You could have been at least like ranked up, playing the game, smashing noobs and telling them to get wrecked.
Like, you just sit there and you go, this was a waste of my time. People don't like me. I'm arguing with people and they don't like me. Like, I tweeted out the Sinclair thing basically saying, like, this isn't that much different than the AP. And if you're watching local news, you're having your intelligence insulted. And then I told the story about how in 2007, a local reporter for Fox 59, I asked them, what are you covering of the Republican challenger's rebuttal to the mayor's budget speech, the incumbent? The election was in 3 months. She said, we're not covering it. My editor said we're not giving him free advertising since he hasn't bought any advertising with us. Okay, well, that's when I went, oh, it's rigged. Yep. The news is a sham.
Yep. It's a... Do we want to plug Abdul?
Absolutely. The reason Abdul Hakim Shabazz at Indie Politics cuts through is because he gives listeners what they want. He cuts through the noise and the bullshit I don't want and gives me information.
Yeah. Yeah. All the info. And it's like local stuff. It's all local.
Yep.
And it's like, wow, this is everything I would wish my local news would give me. But here, you know, so like, you know, so whatever stations you're on, you can just kind of follow them. It's, you know, the cheat sheet's golden.
Yep. Okay. Sorry about the belch there.
Not paid by Idol.
No. Love him, though.
We'll take it at. We take ad money, though.
So Dennis Prager is a radio talk show host, and Prager is a conservative, and he has started something called PragerU. And PragerU is a bunch of videos from a lot of people, like from, you know, all the way on the left, from Alan Dershowitz to Kobe Jones, an athlete, Mike Rowe, Steve Forbes, Dinesh D'Souza, Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, and they take like a little topic and they talk about it. You know, something like, is the death penalty moral? The progressive income tax. And they give you a 2 to 5 minute little talk about the topic at hand from experts. And it is from a conservative viewpoint.
Everyone who talks in the view aren't not always conservatives.
Right.
There are some Democrats that do have conversations on there.
So what happened is YouTube kept putting their videos in restricted mode. And that is, you know, basically a blocking for mature content. We talked about that with Count Dankula, where you couldn't share it, you couldn't comment on it, you couldn't interact with it, it wouldn't be fed to algorithms. It was put into restricted mode and given mature warnings. And they also had a bunch of their videos demonetized. So they couldn't make any money off of it. So here's the type of content that is obstructed for viewers and put into restricted mode on YouTube: drugs and alcohol, sexual situations, violence, mature subjects, profane and mature language, incendiary and demeaning content. Is the death penalty moral? Doesn't seem to fit into any of those. And so it's not optional for users who are part of or using a larger network, such as ones operated by schools, library, and public institutions, to access the the network. So they said, listen, okay, the maybe it's the algorithm. Okay, we get that a company as big as YouTube sets these different parameters, and they can't watch over everything. And in the past, conservative stuff started to get dinged because, you know, we've had stuff demonetized on YouTube because we talked about Richard Spencer. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about Richard Spencer in a negative way and giving you a critique of Richard Spencer, but it still got demonetized because we were talking about Richard Spencer. YouTube isn't going to take the time to sit there and watch 4 hours of it. The first few I had reviewed, and they let it through. They allowed monetization. Now, I made $20 over the course of 5 years on our YouTube videos, so it's not like it's an income stream for us. And you can watch most of the episodes on video. I'm wearing my boomer hat today. I wore this specifically for everyone. It's a red hat that says USA on it.
It's my, it's a dad boomer hat. It's one of those awful boomer dad hats that you get on like a road trip.
Yeah,
come on, kids. We're getting the minivan. We're gonna go down to the beach.
I bought it specifically for that reason because it made me laugh. So Hank Green of the Internet Creators Guild notes, making money off of YouTube, it's no longer an elusive endeavor, only afforded to a fraction of the most creative and popular. It now is a legitimate way for some people to earn a steady income. Green explains, nowadays there are roughly 300,000 content creators that garner over 100,000 views a month and earn $2,500 a year. Okay, so it's not that much. YouTube seems to be keeping some for themselves. Send Tony Soprano in there. So the PragerU, by demonetizing and restricting 50 videos, claims YouTube is targeting it for their relative ideological differences, while also equating it to unlawful censorship and discrimination against its right to freedom of speech. Now, this is from from when they first filed the lawsuit. It's a Daily Caller article. I think this was back in February. And so they sent it for review, and it came back, and they said, yeah, you're still in restricted mode. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, they're clearly blocking this content
yes.
from being seen on their platform. So there's a professor at Notre Dame named Rick Garnett, and this law and political science professor at Notre Dame says, as a citizen, there are good reasons to think that Google or employees of the company have been discriminating on the basis of viewpoints and ideology. Gleb Tsarpitsky, professor at Ohio State University History Department and co-founder of ProTruthPledge.org, said he sees it similarly. PragerU makes a worthwhile argument to the extent that its content is being treated differently than what other content that meets YouTube's terms of service for two reasons. He added, first, if content is being censored via age restrictions and demonetized for ideological reasons, which there is some reason to believe that this is the case, YouTube does not seem to be doing the same to channels on the left. Then YouTube, and by extension its parent company, is not providing a fair ideological playing field. The first argument is based in fairness. Second, given the parent company of Google, Alphabet's motto, is do the right thing, YouTube opens itself up to charges of hypocrisy. Now they've done this to people like Dave Rubin, and it really is, as it has been cataloged, happening to people on the right and not to people on the left.
Yeah, and this is at the same time when the child, like, awful stories are going through the kids' things, making millions of dollars off of ad revenue on YouTube Kids.
I had a friend who...
And that wasn't like it's a, and everyone like knew this stuff and reported, but for some reason they keep getting back and getting stuff on it.
I heard a story about like trans porn on the YouTube Kids app on somebody's iPad. It's like what?
Yeah, ridiculous. And this is the and that gets through. There's other videos that were like 10 times worse than any PragerU video that you get ads, they'll add roles on it and they get monetized. The Paul video that was on YouTube trending, they got trending, with a dead body in the thumbnail, got reported, someone saw that and let that thing go, get that one, that thing went back to monetization.
Yep.
So, and it goes to you, and like through the whole like the demonetization war when it was all started from and then like their whole Trusted Flagger program or their YouTube Heroes, But the people that they select for these YouTube heroes or these trusted flagger programs, majority of them live in California, in their area, where their company's at. Which we get it. Hey, that's where your company's at. That's where your trusted flaggers are. But they don't have anyone else with a different slant. So it's like, when you do get them reviewed, they get reviewed by one of those people that look at this and go, meh, I don't like it.
Exactly. And Zuckerberg was on the Ezra Klein podcast and said they have 14,000 people that work in their political department and in checking all of these things. And he said his goal is not to diminish the reach of publishers like us. And I will be honest, our Facebook page has had more reach in the last month than it has in the past. And I don't know if that's my content selection or if they're just allowing us through. I've noticed that with a completely non-political page that I also operate. I've seen actually more engagement. Less video views, but more engagement on some of the content. So, he says his goal is to fight fake news, the legitimately, as he put it, there's stuff that, years ago, like the BuzzFeed articles, it encouraged you to click. And you click on it and you go, why did I click on this?
Yeah.
That's the stuff he doesn't want on the platform. We are libertarians sharing articles to a libertarian audience, presumably is something that libertarian audience wants to see. Although, if you read the comments of our major Facebook page, they don't want anything that we share. That big page is like crazy.
Yeah.
If you want to give yourself internet cancer, go read our Facebook comments. It's like, it's worse than any major news outlet. It's like libertarians you'd think would be libertarians, but no.
Oh, you can't be pure enough for that.
No.
Nothing's pure. You couldn't share anything. You could probably share a face, just Daryl W. Perry's face, and they'd say how he's not pure enough.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but he uses the roads.
So yeah, Zuckerberg says, hey, we're not punishing those small-time creators. I don't believe you. Like, there's no reason for me to trust you at this point. I did think that was an important discussion. And if you want to hear the other side, you want to hear Zuckerberg's arguments, then the Freakonomics podcast, which is awesome, and the Ezra Klein podcast, which is a good way to get information from the left, you can hear an interview with him there. So Monday, the presiding U.S. District Judge Lucy Coe ruled that PragerU did not violate that YouTube did not violate the First Amendment rights of PragerU by partially censoring or limiting the organization's YouTube videos. I would agree. Okay, so the argument that PragerU was making is sort of twofold. First, there's an inherent First Amendment right to free speech on a platform like YouTube. And second, you're violating your terms of service because you're not treating us as equally as others. I agree that every person has a right to speak freely. And I oppose any individual corporation or government that seeks to limit the speech of other people. Okay, the answer to bad speech is more good speech. It is not limiting that bad speech. What you end up with is something called the Streisand effect, which there's this photographer who unknowingly took an aerial photo of Barbara Streisand's home, and like 40 people saw it. And then when she sued him to take it down and erase the photo and buy the negatives, like millions of people ended up seeing the photo. So when you try to censor something, you bring greater attention to it. And that's what I think when you have something like the Daily Stormer being shut off by GoDaddy.com, then all you do is you embolden that other side. Let them post their nonsense. The greatest way to not be afraid of a Nazi and not take them seriously is to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations with Klan members. They're pathetic human beings. Like, they just are. So the answer to correcting bad speech is more good speech. And YouTube shouldn't be censoring these videos. Facebook shouldn't be censoring conservative voices. Twitter shouldn't be censoring libertarian and conservative voices. But they are. Google, in their search rankings, posts a Snopes article. You middle of the road, milquetoast, dailywire.com, little Ben Shapiro, who was a never Trumper, you know, as conservative and as decent as they come from the right, has a Snopes fact checking site, a little box on his website. Like, if the Daily Wire is considered propaganda to you people, then there's something wrong. And that's what all of this is about. Like, libertarians are not big enough. We don't have a big enough voice to really get censored. So we get lumped in with the conservatives and the right. So you really do need to care what's happening to conservatives. Because what happens to conservatives happens to us. And I can tell you that as a person who runs a libertarian outlet, it's happening to us. Because the type of discussions that we have, and to the people who are censoring us, people on the left, they consider us conservatives. They're not sophisticated enough to know the difference between a libertarian and a conservative. We all just look right to them. Okay, so you really do need to pay attention to what's happening. So I do agree that YouTube has a right to put on their servers whatever they'd like to put on those servers. Okay, they do have a right as a corporation to create whatever algorithms to diminish every conservative voice, to erase all politics, to actively promote leftist channels like the Young Turks. They can do that. They have every right. Ethically, should they? No, because you are a platform. You are a tool. You are not a publisher. And once you start getting into the business of content curation, then you start opening yourself to more and more lawsuits from all sides. Because you're not just being sued by PragerU, you're being sued by leftist organizations and everybody else. Okay, so under Section 230 of the U.S. Code, these corporations, if they're platforms, if they're tools, are not liable for anything said or posted on their platforms. Anything a user posts. You can go on and post all the copyrighted content you want. Now, Facebook and YouTube will, you know, Facebook will take you down. YouTube will just send the money to the content creator, you know, because they want you to be able to post the video of you with music in the thing. They just want the person who created the music to get the... Now, copyright law, we're not going to get into tonight.
Yeah.
They do have a right to do whatever they want to do because it's their property. But it doesn't make it right ethically. And it doesn't, and it could be possible fraud, as they argued in the second part. When you say in your terms of service you're a platform and you're treating content equally and then you don't, you're committing fraud.
Right.
That's where libertarians do have a problem because we're against you committing fraud.
Right. Yeah, they're committing fraud, yeah. And especially fraud with business partners, because mostly all the ads that PragerU has bought with them. That's even worse. That's egregious. They've given money.
PragerU has... I see their ads all the time. Tons.
Yeah, so they have given money, so they're a business partner, and they got frauded from that. So as a libertarian, you should have an issue with it. You should look at that and go, like, no, this is wrong.
Right.
And, you know, you can't sit back and go, oh, it's just property. Yeah, but they also have frauded. In front of the business partner. So they'll do this to you too.
They are seeking an appeal. So.
Yeah, which is like it, and hopefully something will change and go with it. There's other lawsuits going after YouTube for doing the same thing. The podcast, what is it? Latimer Crowder, they've got litigation going with YouTube. And they also got one going after Twitter too. So.
Right.
It's. Because they've gotten the they're in a situation because you know, just like Prager, they have given money and expected to follow the rules, and since they broke those rules, you know, yeah, they opened themselves up to litigation.
So I've argued through all of this that you need to be aware and motivated to stand up for what's right. Yes, it is their right to put on their server what they want or don't want. Okay. But is it right? Is it right for them to censor conservative and libertarian voices and not left voices? Is it right that liberal media outlets and blogs have seen a 2% increase while conservative blogs and outlets have seen a 24% decrease in traffic to the point that Rare just went out of business because of the drop in traffic. It's not right, and you should say something. Because just like boycotts are part of the free market, I don't agree with boycotts. I think it's a bullying tactic. I think that the sanitation worker strike and the boycotts that were inherent in that in Memphis, because, you know, these local companies wouldn't sell to blacks in the South, and they boycotted, that's good bullying. Okay, that's bullying on behalf of what's right, what's just, what's fair, what's equitable. Okay, bullying Laura Ingraham because she has an opinion you don't agree with is bad bullying, is bad boycotts. Okay, not good. That's using the free market for inappropriate reasons, but it's still using the free market, and there you can do it. You can choose to associate with a brand that you don't want to associate with. You know, you can choose to not host the content of people that you don't want to have on your platform. I still think that libertarians are being kind of weak on the freedom of speech argument, and they're not using their voice to support people like PragerU and Steven Crowder because they're afraid of being associated with the right.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, you're next.
Mm-hmm.
You're already getting caught up in all of this.
Yep.
And so use the market forces, use the power of your voice to say to these companies, we're leaving you if you don't change this. And we mean it. And we will walk.
Mm-hmm.
And we will go somewhere else.
Yep.
And I think that's incredibly important for us to do. And we need to stick up for our ability. Because let's face it. Yes, these are private corporations. But these are pretty fucking powerful private corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They've got us by the balls in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You look at Amazon, Google, Apple, Facebook, Twitter. These are incredibly powerful corporations that control thought in a lot of ways. And it's important what they do or don't do and how they treat large segments, more than 50% of the country, and how they treat them and how they structure their business model. If you don't like their privacy standards, if you don't like what they do with your data, if you don't like what they do or don't censor, then do something about it. Leave the product. Or make sure that you're spamming the shit out of them saying, this isn't cool. I got a phone call saying, hey, would you like to buy some more Facebook ads? And I said to the guy on the phone, I said, absolutely not. I will not spend a dime with you guys because I'm not going to pay you for content that you would censor otherwise. Why would I give you money? You don't support me, so why should I support you?
Exactly.
And he said, I'm sorry to hear that.
Click.
You know, call the business line and say, I'd like to buy some ads, get somebody on the line and go, I'm just kidding, I'm not buying an ad. Because they have to write all that down, they read it. Because when you don't, because what happens is when you let mechanisms be created for people you don't like, you may say, I don't like Laura Ingraham. I hate that they're doing that boycotting stuff. That's not an appropriate way to use the free market. I hate that. But Laura Ingraham's a dick. Okay, well, that just encourages that behavior further. Okay?
Right, yeah.
When the government wants to create laws, mm-hmm. as we spoke about last week in the Cloud Act or mm-hmm. SOPA.
Or We Libertarians gets an Ice House sponsorship. Wait till we get Ice House beer sponsorship.
Or well, we need to pass this law to fight against sex traffickers.
Oh, yeah.
Or child pornographers mm-hmm. or terrorists. Who's against that?
No one's against that.
Everyone's against school shootings. Everyone's against, you know, mm-hmm. child trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So when I can't oppose you because I don't want to look like I'm beating up on a Parkland survivor. I don't want to look like I'm supporting child pornography terrorists, sex traffickers. You know, and so that's where those laws are created. GoDaddy gets rid of the Daily Stormer. It creates a precedent for them to become a company that then starts weighing who is or who should not use their utility.
Mm-hmm.
Same with what's the company that Cloudflare that prevents it's basically a security system for your website.
Right.
And they said, we're not going to do business with the Daily Stormer. okay, I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. You're being a discerning business owner, and you have to look at, you have to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah.
But you, what Pandora's box are you opening? And the CEO of Cloudflare says, we're doing it this time, but this is the only time. Do not come back to us because we're not doing it again. Do you think that's going to work, Cloudflare? Because they're going to keep coming back.
They're going to come back because you...
Because they're barbarians.
You kneeled. You kneeled.
Yep. You stuck your neck out. Do you mm-hmm. think they're not going to hit it with a sword?
Yep.
So it's important for you to stand up and say, I know, it's not there. It's because this is why. This is the EFF. Great organization we told you about last week. The FBI could have gotten into the San Bernardino shooter's iPhone, but leadership didn't say that. There was an ISIS member who shot up a military base in San Bernardino. It was a military base.
Military gun-free zone.
And then a gun-free zone and killed himself. His wife was involved in the attack. And the FBI basically fought with Apple in court to create a backdoor access to the shooter's phone. Because they said, this is encrypted, we can't get into the phone. And Apple said, sorry, we can't break the encryption code. Well, we're going to use the government, the force of government, to compel this private corporation to do what we want them to do in the name of national security. And the right was all for it. Oh, I'm all for this. Because this is in the interest of fighting terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple said, you don't understand. We create this backdoor to get into this iPhone for one iPhone. It exists for all iPhones.
Right.
And not only can the FBI get this backdoor access, so can the Russians, so can ISIS, so can any teenage hacker, young Harry, out there could get it if they wanted
it. Yep. If it's possible, anyone can find it. That's why, like, anytime that you think something's weird, like, wow, I can't with this backdoor hack, which is funny, like, it's probably created there and or left in, and, you know, someone found it and exploited it.
Yep. Last chance for phone calls, 317-699-7236. Again, that's 317-699-7236.
Yeah, it's not a backdoor. It's just, it's weak security.
It's right.
It's not a backdoor. It's weak security.
So the Office of Inspector General, the Inspector General is sort of the independent inspector that goes, if there's a problem within a government agency, the Inspector General is the one that does the investigation. They're supposed to be completely... they're like the journalists out there who are just unbiased, totally. So the Department of Justice's OIG released a report last week supporting what EFF had long suspected, that the FBI's legal fight with Apple in 2016 to create a backdoor access to the Bernardino shooter's phone was more focused on creating a legal precedent than it was on accessing one specific device. From the onset, we suspected that the FBI's primary goal in its efforts to access the iPhone found in the wake of the December 2015 mass shooting in San Bernardino wasn't simply to unlock the device at issue. Rather, we believe that the FBI's intention with the litigation was to obtain legal precedent that it can compel Apple to sabotage its own security mechanisms. Among other disturbing revelations, the new OIG report confirms our suspicion. Senior leaders within the FBI were definitely not happy when the agency realized that another solution to access the contents of the phone had been found through an outside vendor and the legal proceeding against Apple couldn't continue. So a third-party vendor said, yeah, we can hack that, and they had to drop their lawsuit, and they were pissed. So December 2nd, 2015, the shooting happens. The shooters destroy their personal phones but leave a third phone owned by their employer untouched. February 9th, 2016, Jim Comey testifies that the FBI cannot access the phone. February 16th, 2016, backed by all the John McCain's of the world, applies for an application for an order compelling Apple to gain access to the phone. They wanted them to, just this phone. Just this one phone. At the same time, according to the OIG, the chief of the FBI's remote operations unit, the FBI's elite hacking team called ROU, knows that one of the vendors that he worked with closely with almost 90% of the way toward a solution that the vendor had been working on for many months. So let's briefly step out to note the discrepancies between what the FBI was saying in early 2016 and what they actually knew. How is it that senior FBI officials testified that the agency had no capability to access the contents when the their own premier hacking team knew the capability was 90% of the way there? So March 1st comes around, and Director Comey testifies they haven't had access to the phone without, and they can't get to it without Apple's help. The OIG concluded that Comey didn't know that his testimony was false at the time he gave it, but it was false, and the technical staff in the FBI's ROU unit knew it. So they were basically pissed that they couldn't use the force of government, even though they knew that this was possible, to get into your phone. So let's fast forward to this week, actually March 24th, in the New York Times, Justice Department revives push to mandate a way to unlock phones. Federal law enforcement officials are renewing a push for a legal mandate that tech companies build tools into smartphones and other devices that would allow access to encrypted data in criminal investigations. They want extraordinary access. Mm-hmm. So the FBI has been agitating for versions of the mandate to break encryption since 2010, complaining that the spreading use of encryption is eroding investigators' ability to carry out wiretap orders and search warrants, a problem it calls going dark. Can you explain going dark, Harry?
First of all, I got to address the bullshit on the whole, I'm really upset, they've been attacking encryption since since civilians got encryption, okay?
Right.
And it's never been about that one phone. As you can you can see, it's never been on one phone. It's about making it cheaper so they can spread it out. Because they've got tons of phones that need to get hacked into. They know they've got the capability working on it, but they know it's expensive because paying someone to get into someone's phone, it's not going to be cheap because, it's a little difficult.
Right.
It's just a certain set of skills. So they wanted to make it easy so any Joe Blow cop, side of the road, can sit there to do it, or airport security, they can just get into someone's phone for any other reason like that. I just want to address that crap there. Triggered the crap out of me. The other thing was going dark. That's encrypting your traffic, encrypting everything. So it's not easily sniffed. So if they get access to your laptop, doesn't matter. It's encrypted. All they get is gobbledygook.
Right.
They get numbers and letters and relative what it is in for your encryption, right? So so if they get access to your physical device, it's garbage anyways because it's encrypted.
Right.
They want going dark through you using your internet traffic. That's, using a VPN or a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going through Tor, so they can't see what you're doing. So all that is just they just get crap. It's just gobbledygook. It's gobbledygook. When they pull that packet, it's just gobbledygook packet. It means nothing. Because you can't see, you just can't poke inside the tunnel. That's going dark. So it's basically that whole wiretapping, that sniff program, you get nothing. It's dark.
Is going dark their term, or is it sort of a term that the internet uses?
It's one like the, I think it's kind of a cross between the people. I think it was born into the both of it because, just to hear that from like old hackers saying that.
Right.
And you also get when you hear from like police agents, they went dark. In the old spy books, like the spy went dark.
I'm gonna take a couple calls. Stay on the line. Did you know that the left is now calling the gun show loophole the terrorism loophole?
Well, I'm waiting for the conservatives to call the border walls the gun control border wall.
Right.
We've got, in order to stop fully semi-automatic weapons coming in from the border, we got to put a wall up.
Oh, we're gonna talk all about bad Trump on Thursday, because he's doing a lot of dumb stuff. Let's go to the phone calls again. Please state your name once I introduce you, and then jump right into what you want to say about the topic. We're going to go with 317-381. Caller, you're on the air with We Are Libertarians.
Hey, guys. You guys are doing a good job. I just want to make a comment about the Second Amendment real quick. It's already really heavily regulated. Freedoms do we have that you have to be 18 to use? Like, why can't like toddlers buy guns? Toddlers have the freedom of speech.
What's your
name? You know what I mean?
What's your name?
Tad Western.
I thought that was you. Tad.
Hey, remember, keep them holstered unless you're ready for a shootout. Pew-pew! I'm out.
All right, thank
toddlers,
you.
Toddlers can't afford guns. They also have terrible aim, so you don't want to give them a gun. You might want to give them a like a something that gets area effect.
Toddlers also put everything in their mouth.
They sure do.
So a gun is not a good. All right,
And they do not have freedom of speech. I'll put a binky in that mouth. They think they can talk. Like, don't own to that crap.
All right, let's go to our 812 number here. Caller, you're on the air with We Are Libertarians. What is your name?
Howdy, y'all. My name is Flynn.
Flynn, nice to meet you. I feel like we're being...
Flynn, like opposite of fat. Anyways, I was calling in to let you guys know about this Melissa character. She is an absolute menace. I was down in the Salesforce Tower just a couple of days ago, and she tried to make a motion to grab for my dick, and it was absolutely terrible. She wants to talk about sexual harassment. She is the worst offender I have ever met.
It's funny you say that because this is not a joke. She was kicked out of the Antelope Club for sexually harassing the female employees.
I don't doubt it. She seems like the type. She has so many damn issues. I swear. They don't call me Slim for a reason. She wasn't able to get her hands tied around right my dick enough to get a hold of it.
All right.
But, you know.
Anything else you'd like to say, Flim? All right. Flim is out. Flem out. Now, see, Ross Tickner, beloved Ross Tickner of the We Are Libertarians Facebook group, said, why would you do this? Why would you possibly take phone calls? You know your audience. You know they're a bunch of shit posters. They're mm-hmm. going to just troll you. I said, that's a chance I got to take, Ross. I want to give the people a voice, and some of those voices may be worthless.
Honestly, it'd be a lot of fun if we could like do this like early in the morning. You know, watch these people all like hyped up on caffeine, stuck in traffic. Of course, it'd be worse. It'd be 10 times worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, people are sitting right now. Tad's had a few hundred, and he's, you know, just giving us the business.
If he has 100, he's going to have 400.
Well, I like it. I'm looking forward to you guys participating in the show. Please please tune in. You know, we used to get started around 7:30 Eastern on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Harry and I will tweet out Facebook posts, put in the Facebook groups, Discord, all the stuff of...
In the private Discord group for the patrons.
The topics we're going to get to, the phone number, you can check all that on the social media stuff. When we go live, I'll let you know. So, Harry, we've covered a lot here tonight.
Did
a lot.
Went through a lot of different things.
I feel like we did good work, though.
Yeah, yeah. We've got like 10 more pages of propaganda from the that we go through, though.
Rick makes a good point. I, as you know, am generous. They call me Dear Leader because I am generous and thorough. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to the bottom of this. I regret what happened with my friend Melissa. And so if she wants to come on the show and she wants to apologize publicly to me and my listeners, which you know, Harry, we are one.
Yep.
I am We Are Libertarians, and the audience is me. So Melissa, I'm a big man, okay? I'm the bigger man. I'm a gracious man. I'm generous. I will allow you to come to We Are Libertarians and apologize to me for all the things that you've lied about, all the false statements you've made, all the stories you've concocted. So if you would like to come and apologize, you know how to get a hold of me. Might be tough because I blocked you on everything, but you know, just post it on your Facebook. Half of the audience will screenshot it and send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come on We Are Libertarians and apologize to me directly. I did it with Rob Kendall.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob came on the show and he apologized, and we are friends now.
Yeah. Probably not going to like it when you scoop him for that niece interview, though.
I feel like that was a big get tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't get that. Okay.
All right, Harry, final thoughts for this episode.
Let's see here. I got some notes here. All right. One thing is, don't forget, we got Low Key Wall tomorrow. We're going to be, I'm going to do the Friendica install. I'm going to do it two different ways. The GUI way, I'm sure Michael will love the GUI way. And then I'll do it through the command line. the proper way, then I will talk more about going dark and things you can do to help yourself go dark from different organizations. Also, don't forget we got Liberty and Chill IRL stream. We're going to be at Triton this Friday, so come out to Liberty and Chill. And the other thing is, one thing I just found out about that is like the Twitch stream is making more than YouTube stream. I'm this close to actually paying back for that webcam that dear leader graciously gave the low-key wall audience. Was that close to paying it back. So, haha. Also, for those who come down to the Twitch channel, you guys, when you hit that subscribe button with your Twitch Prime, you've got to hit that every month. I know it's annoying, but I like seeing you guys' faces on low-key wall and hanging out with me. So come see me, smash that subscribe button one more time and say hi to me in low-key wall, because we're going to go over the Friendica stuff. I will try to do more on the series and going dark. I see a lot of people want to turn low-key wall into more of a tech show, which I have no issue doing. But you know, I still like it being like a more like that fan interaction.
Right.
That's what I mostly want for low key wall. And if the fan interaction of the people who come over to Twitch want more of that tech stuff, hey, I'll give it to you.
Very good. Check it out tomorrow night. I owe the Patreon subscribers like 3 weeks of low key wall audio, so that is my bad. I just got behind on it. So
2 weeks ago, episode we did a very long one. Which we talked about how to get it at the end of the episode is really gold. Is like how to get like the IT space, and we had it was James Neese, Ryan Holt, myself, all talking about computer certifications and getting into the IT space.
Right. All right. I think for me, don't have much to say. I've just made the announcement on my Facebook to Melissa that she can come on the program and apologize. I look forward to it. I look forward to having that conversation, and I look forward to you giving me more books that I can autograph and give out to my audience.
Someone asked in the chat what VPN you should use for Android. I use OpenVPN. It's open source. It's a lot of other people trust it. A lot of hackers I know trust it and still use it. I use it. I don't trust the new one from Google. It's very easy to use, but I don't trust Google that much. So
right.
Mileage may vary.
All right, kids. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We will be talking about Donald Trump and bad Trump and all the things that he's doing that are stupid, like the military on the border, punishing Amazon because it's hurting his crony friends. I've also got an interview that I'm going to do with Mary Ruart lined up. I'm going to talk to another social media creator. So lots of stuff, lots of content that I am putting out there. So please check it out. All right. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. A special thank you to Christy Avery, Brandon Luke, Craig DaCosta, and Jason Doolittle for being our $100 a month subscribers to the program. All of our Patreon subscribers, you guys cannot thank you enough for all of the contributions that you make. Everybody from $1, $5, $10, $25, $100, you're all incredibly important to the growth of this. You are helping us inform people. You are helping us grow new libertarians. And you are helping me grow this platform. And I appreciate it so much. And thank you for the opportunity to do things like take phone calls. I wouldn't have been able to do that without you guys. So I appreciate that, and thank you so much for your contributions. If you want to become a Patreon subscriber, then go to patreon.com/WeAreLibertarians or go to WeAreLibertarians.com. So we will see you we'll see you later in the week, probably Thursday, all right? And until then, take care of each other, and don't be mean to people on the internet, unless they're Melissa.